This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Don't miss our day-long celebration of the Pacifica Radio Archives, sounds that change the world. Tuesday, November 27th, beginning at 7 a.m. Eastern Time.
This is KPFT Houston.
The new world away. Unanswered questions in my Program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is the November 24th edition of After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one. Well, how was your Thanksgiving, dear?
Oh, not bad. No one was killed, so I guess it's...
Well, that's good.
I guess it's considered a plus.
You did the big family thing, I did.
Yeah, well, part of the family wasn't there. The little kids didn't come over till later, and he was too tired to...
Oh.
He wanted to go back and watch a movie, and he fell asleep partway through it, so...
Oh, well.
But no, it was, you know, just simple stuff, and then I just didn't even want to... Looked at the Black Friday ads and decided the only thing interesting on there was the... $2 for $1 candy bars at Walgreens, and I'm not even going to try for that.
Yeah, and what is it with these stores opening up like 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning?
Well, let's put it this way. When I went to my parents' house at noon, I drove by a Best Buy.
Yeah.
There was already 4 tents out front and had to be, you know, 20 people there. When I went home at 9 o'clock... There had to have been 50 people in line.
Oh, God.
And that was 9 p.m. before.
It's gotten too crazy.
Oh,
just
yeah,
too crazy.
I did it 1 year, and, you know, when there was almost a riot at the Best Buy, not too much in a hurry to go there.
No.
So how was Thanksgiving at Mary's?
Well, I had Thanksgiving dinner with a different kind of family. The family of Montrose, Judy and I, and Montana from ICOH, served dinner at Mary's to any, you know, customers, anybody who walked in the door. Of course, we had a lot of competition from other bars. Yeah. I mean, you name the bar, they were having a Thanksgiving spread. But there wasn't anything left. And after about 2 hours, it was gone.
And you were up making pies the night before.
Yes, I was. For Thanksgiving, I make apple pie from scratch.
In that tiny little kitchen.
Yes. Peel the apples, make the pastry, all that kind of stuff. And they turned out well this year. Very, very, very good. Music. We had some music at the beginning of the show. Some new music from a country artist. Rural country artist. I mean, we're not talking top 40 country. We're talking folk-type country by the name of Emily Herring from her CD, The Cat Beaver Bee. Okay. It's a six-song CD, and that what we played was East St. Louis Blues, East St. Louis Blues, I guess. This is probably not unique, but close to it, because this type of music is really heterosexual. However, she isn't, and she's in this East St. Louis Blues. She's talking about her girlfriend. So,
so it's one of those take a straight song, mm-hmm, and change it just by having a different singer.
Well, these are all original songs, I believe. Yeah. But I don't know. It's not the type of music that I normally listen to. And, you know, it's not going to become my favorite, but I like to see this genre being included in GLBT music. So, East St. Louis Blues by Emily Herring. And after that, we had Unanswered Questions by Evrim. We played this last week. She is from Houston and born in Turkey. Istanbul, Turkey, and has been here for quite a few years. She's put out a CD single with seven different variations on the same song. So, and I like it. It's nice. And that's about it for that, because starting next week, it's Christmas music.
And Jimmy's not won't be here next week to hear the first selection.
Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Yes, I'll be in Galveston for Dickens on the Strand.
Don't worry, the only rule of thumb we go is, you know, we get the Go-Go Boys and play the ones you don't have highlighted.
Yes, I know, that's the scary part. Anyway, a couple of things going on this week. Just a couple, because we've got someone here who has never been on After Hours that I know of.
You know, I just realized why he looks different.
Why?
He's got nothing hanging around his neck.
Oh, yes. Dalton DeHart is here. And we're going to be speaking.
That means we're not a gay event.
Because he's not filming it.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking with him about an event happening on December 6th, a special fundraiser that he's participating in with the Montrose Counseling Center.
Mm-hmm.
And Sally Heffer is here also to talk about that and other things that are going on. And after that, we've got the transgender segment. And after that, we've got the bisexual segment.
Yes.
With Robin and David Great Bear. So, tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, you can run over to Mary's to have breakfast and, you know, your favorite Bloody Mary or whatever it is that you like, if you can't wait till noon to have that cocktail. Stop by Mary's for breakfast and have a cocktail with Montana and Judy. Judy Reeves will be serving breakfast tomorrow morning, which is why she's not here tonight. Poor thing has to get up at 7 in the morning and cook breakfast for the masses. She's taking that on. And, of course, every Wednesday night is the Jukebox Show at Mary's, hosted by Montana. And let's see. Oh, my. The Luau of Love for Hatch. It's a fundraiser for Hatch on Saturday, December 1st. Hatch was started in 1987 in the Montrose area to help the youth in our community. And except for a short little part where they kind of disbanded and then came back together, they've been in continuous operation. There'll be an auction at 8 o'clock. And they call this an event to remember. Live music, 6 to 10, by Guitar Phil. Raffle, auction at 8 p.m., and a show for your enjoyment. That's at Michael's Outpost at 1419 Richmond Avenue. All proceeds donated to Hatch. And this event is held in memory of Luke McCormick, 1978 to 2000, and all those we remember at this Luau of Love. Then, I've got a little notice here about Queer Voices. And, of course, let's see, this must be the fourth Monday coming up, so make sure you listen to Queer Voices right here on this very station, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM. Monday night at 8 o'clock, 8 to 10 p.m. The second hour, starting at 9 p.m., will be J.D. Doyle's Queer Music Heritage. But I've got a little notice here that from Brian Levinka, that he wanted to make sure that everyone had a tremendous Thanksgiving, and he's good to go for a radio spot on Monday on Queer Voices. The spot will be 20 to 30 minutes and will feature the whole World AIDS Day weekend. The interview will take place Monday, November 26th, just after 8 p.m. So we were lightly probably touch on things happening at World AIDS Day. We hit them pretty heavy last week. But for an in-depth interview, be sure to listen to Queer Voices on Monday.
Or you can also go to worldaidsdayhouston.org.
And in fact, you've got a little something there about World AIDS Day at the Community Center.
Yes, in observance of World AIDS Day, the Community Center will present an exhibition of work by artists who participate in the Art League Houston HIV Positive Healing Art Group, taught by Kermit Eisenhut. The exhibition will go on display November 30th. Some pieces will remain on view throughout December. Works of art will be available for purchase, with proceeds benefiting the individual artists. There will be a reception on December 1st from 2 to 5. The Community Center will also put up a tree of remembrance in its lobby. Throughout December, the center invites individuals to bring ornaments and or pictures in remembrance of friends and loved ones lost to HIV/AIDS. And there also, the Community Center will be the venue for the first annual Brenda Thomas Memorial New Year's Day Social.
Oh, yes.
On January 1st from 2 to 8 p.m. This event, hosted by the Houston Transgender Unity Committee, revives the tradition of the open house that the late great community activist and educator Brenda Thomas would host every New Year's Day at her home. This informal family-style event will include a potluck meal and plenty of wonderful conversation. There is no charge, but donations are welcomed. The Houston GLBT Community Center is located at 3400 Montrose, Suite 207. You can park in the garage and just tell them that you're there for an event at the center. Theater Suburbia presents A Christmas Cactus, written by Elliot Barham. It's playing November 2nd through December 1st on Fridays and Saturdays at 8:30 p.m. with Sunday matinees at 3 p.m. Oh, I'm sorry, the Sunday matinees are over now. Oh, I'm sorry. Tomorrow's the last Sunday matinee at 3 p.m. Tickets are $12 for adults, $11 for students and seniors, and on Sunday, the tickets are $10 for everyone. You can contact Theater Suburbia at 713-682-3525 or check them out on the web at theatersuburbia.com. Remember, that's theater with an R-E on there.
Yes. Now, I'm here with Dalton DeHart and Sally Huffer. Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Sally, how are you doing?
I'm doing just fantastic.
Welcome
I
to...
I can't believe that Dalton's never been on the show before.
I know.
No, I have not.
And honored.
I like to be behind the camera.
You have been here before.
I have been here before. It's I've been also been at the other end of the radio listening many times over.
So you know how it works.
All the time.
We're here to talk about an event that Dalton's going to be part of, December 6th. Why don't you tell us a little something about it?
Why doesn't Sally tell you about that since it's...
Oh, okay.
He's very, quite humble, as you know.
Yes, I do.
You may find it hard to believe that Dalton first picked up his first 35mm camera 30 years ago. And it also happens to be 30 years ago in 1978. That Montrose Counseling Center began. And so we decided to
put
the two together, and we realized that we really needed to celebrate this community icon.
Mm-hmm.
And so we put together what we hope with our new building purchase, since we're looking at the past, we're looking at where we are now, and we're looking at the future. And we recognize that with all of the photographs that Dalton has taken over the years, all of the people that are in those photographs represent our community, and what a wonderful thing to reduce isolation and to put a face on the humanity here.
Yes.
I mean, going back 30 years, the people that are depicted in those photos, people that are no longer with us,
yeah.
You know, just the vast, you know, number of people that are there. And so we wanted to focus. That's our catchword because of Dalton's camera. Get it? Focus on the past, present, and future. A celebration of Dalton DeHart, who is very much alive and well and sitting right next to me.
Yes.
So what's going to be happening? And
well,
when does it happen?
Well, it's on December 6th,
okay.
And it's in our new building,
mm-hmm.
And it's going to be on the first floor. And one of the most wonderful things about that is that we want to invite the community to our new building, which is at 401 Brannard Street. The first floor is now vacant. The fitness exchange has moved out.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want people to see the before, because beginning after the new year, we're going to start construction on the first floor, and the whole first floor is going to be built out into a community area. There's going to be community rooms.
Mm-hmm.
The Houston GLBT Community Center is going to be moving in. Of course, you probably know we'll have exhibits there from GCAM.
Yes.
And so it's going to be a real community space. And we invite other GLBT groups to have their meetings there and that
mm-hmm.
sort of thing. And so what we're hoping is that first floor will be kind of a center point for the community to come. As well as, you know, in the parking lot. We had back in, I think it was August, we had our first hate crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Candlelight vigil. Right.
Very beautiful.
And so we did that on National Night Out.
Mm-hmm.
And with our parking lot now, we can do that every year.
That's
and
wonderful.
And coming up with the candlelight observance
mm-hmm.
for World AIDS Day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we wanted to invite the community before everything happens. We're going to get some of the albums going back several years from the Gulf Coast Archive Museum of GLBT History. They are going to let us borrow some of Dalton's many albums, and we'll have those on display. People can come and look and see some of the photographs, people they haven't seen for a long time,
mm-hmm.
see what they looked like 30 years ago. And so it's just a little reception that we would like to have people come and celebrate this wonderful man sitting to my left.
Oh, my God.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, Judy is going to be serving breakfast at Mary's, so she's not here tonight.
Okay.
So I'm representing GCAM.
Good.
I've stepped down from a vice chair, and I'm now the treasurer.
Okay.
So, you know, I still have my foot in the door there. But Dalton has recently donated 30,000 of his photographs to GCAM. Part of that is 91 albums.
Can you even imagine?
Events. Yes.
I've got about 40 more to give you, too.
A lot of Montrose softball.
Oh, yeah.
You must be hot for softball.
Oh, I love softball. Mm-hmm. Yes, I've taken that for maybe 15 years, yeah.
And as a matter of fact, as a side note on that, I don't know if you're aware of Dalton, but coming up next year is Louis 35.
Yes,
35th
it is.
Anniversary. So there's a special committee that's been set up, a history committee, and we've been going through those 30,000 to pull out all the Louis pictures that you've taken over the years. And, oh, they're all the good ones.
I know they are. Yeah, the others I didn't give you.
Yeah.
Actually, they're more like 600,000 pictures that I'll be giving you.
Isn't that incredible?
Well, see, I think that's just it, is that he
puts 600,000 pictures.
Of the community, yeah.
But let's remember, who are in those photographs? We've got people from, you know, the gay and lesbian community. We have people from, you know, before HIV became... Mm-hmm. You know, a national,
yes.
You know, epidemic and crisis. There are people in there that are from the Bears, the drag queens, you know, people from the leather community, people from the courts, you know, people from the softball league, people from, you know, other community groups. It is so representative of our community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's you know, I mean, it's like a little United Nations.
Also from the mayor's events and city council. I know most all those, and I've taken pictures of all them at various events, and
mm-hmm.
Anise Parker especially. She's one of my dearest friends in the entire world, and all the other, and Sue Lovell and all the other folks on city council. I've got lots of pictures of them, and yeah, I have, yeah, about 600,000.
All these many years, every weekend, you go to half a dozen events mm-hmm. on a Friday or a Saturday or a Sunday.
Right.
I don't know how you do it.
It's only four tonight, though.
That's why he had time to come here.
That's exactly right. I tell people I'm the oldest living hippie that goes about and does all these pictures, having never done.
And the thing with it is, you have carte blanche to any party, any bar, any event. They see you walk up, and they just fling open the doors and say, come take pictures.
Because they know that I protect the people who need to be protected,
mm-hmm.
and I take care of the people who need to be taken care of, and they trust me, and I trust them, and I love them all, and we're a great, great, wonderful group of people.
Yeah. But even the 30,000 is a daunting task for
yeah, that's only the ones in the album.
Yeah. Because, you know, there's a lot of loose ones.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I gave those.
Oh, yeah.
Judy to take care of those as well.
Oh, yeah. Because mm-hmm. On the GCAM website, we do have a program in place.
Right.
Where we scan in photos, mm-hmm. and the community is able to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And if they know who's in a picture, they can
identify
them.
Good.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yes. So eventually, your photos will be in that.
And what I hope to do is, the first 12,485 rolls of film I took were actually film.
Mm-hmm.
So those, I'm in the process of trying to get them digitized so I can give you the CD.
Mm-hmm.
I give you the CD so that that you'll have all of those.
That'll make it a whole lot easier.
It will be. And then the last 3 years, since I've been digital, actually, yeah, 3.5 years now, I've taken probably another 350,000 pictures. So I guess now I'm between 600,000 and 700,000.
I've talked to other photographers. Paul Strickland comes by.
Oh, yeah,
every
Paul's
week.
One of my best friends.
And they all say, you know, since it's all digitalized, everybody takes a whole lot more.
Oh, yes,
than
we
they
do.
Ever
yeah, we
did
do.
Before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because it's
Why
cheap
not?
And you can do it, and it holds the information. And I mean, you don't have to worry about the 36 and changing film.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah, those 12,485 rolls of film.
That's
are they
a
like
lot of work.
12, you know, images per roll.
Oh no,
are
no,
they
no, 24? No. 38 average. 38.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. 38 average, yeah.
So, you know, multiply that out.
Well, and I've always said, I mean, anybody that you know in the community, I mean, just pick any leader. Jimmy Carper, for example. We could probably, you know, take all the pictures of Jimmy Carper and, you know, make wallpaper and, you know, fill this entire radio station with Jimmy Carper wallpaper. I mean, there's probably that many pictures of you.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
And it's, I guess it's because we know each other, because anytime I'm at an event and you're there, you always take my picture.
I definitely do. Yes,
you always do. With whomever I'm with.
That's right.
And,
me too.
Yeah. So, you know, it's, you have a lot of pictures of Judy and I, I'm sure.
No, I do have a lot of you and Judy, yeah. And Chris, too. I have a lot of Chris, too.
He does get around, doesn't
yes,
he?
Yes, he does.
Big Men's Club. And,
oh, yeah, I've got a lot of pictures of
him. Remember the Cue Patrol. And,
that's right.
I mean, he was instrumental in that organization.
I know he was. Yes, he was a major force in that.
So, but at this event on December 6th?
Yes.
Other people will be taking Dalton's picture.
Whoa!
Yes.
Can you even imagine?
No. The Montrose Counseling Center is a 501c3 organization.
It is a 501c3.
And this radio station is a 501c3
yes.
organization. So this event is also a fundraiser.
It is a fundraiser.
And so you can talk about ticket prices.
Well, it's $30 at the door.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other levels of sponsorship. And because it's the 30th anniversary of Dalton taking pictures and 30th anniversary of Montrose Counseling Center, we decided to have $30 at the door.
Oh, okay. That works.
There are different sponsorship levels, and there's information about that at our website. It's www.montrosecounselingcenter.org.
How do you spell counseling?
I know. Thank you for asking. It's counseling. MontroseCounselingCenter.org. And right at our homepage, you can click through to find out more information about this focus on the past, present, and future, as well as we are a part of the Network for Good. And so if you wanted to sponsor this event, you could do a donation in honor of Dalton. Just go to Network for Good, look for Montrose Counseling Center, and there's a part where you can designate your funds.
Oh.
And so one of the things that we're really proud of is that, you know, we're an openly GLBT organization.
Absolutely.
You know, we have not changed that in our mission statement. We proudly say we serve the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want people to know that and know that, you know, that's what we're about. That's what we want to have the community center to be about, our community. And that's certainly something that Dalton represents as well.
You bet he does. You bet he does. For a long time and for 30 more years, please.
Yes, I tell people when I'll be going the rest of my life until I'm
Well, he started when he was 10, right? So
no, 30 God, years ago. Yeah, 10 years ago, right. Oh, my goodness.
So, but the other thing is if you're not comfortable making a donation online, and I know a lot of people don't, you know, don't
They're not ready for that yet.
Exactly. They can contact us at Montrose Counseling Center ahead of time. You can also, you know, bring a check to the event if you'd like.
Or 401 Bernard?
401 Bernard.
Bernard or Brainerd or what? How do you pronounce that?
I pronounce it Brainerd.
Brainerd?
I think so. Wait. 401 Brainerd. Yes, that's how I pronounce it. But it could be Brainerd.
Houston, a lot of times it's Bernard,
I don't know.
But we are between Richmond and...
Lower Richmond and Lower Alabama.
Well, there you go.
And everybody knows the old fitness exchange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and I always turn down...
Right off the feeder.
I turned down Jack Street, so, yeah.
Jack off Richmond?
Jack off South...
sure.
West Alabama.
So, and then turn east on Brainerd Street, and you'll see the... It's... Well, there's three stories, but it's really four stories.
I know.
The elevator went out this last week. We had to climb.
Oops.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So, but there's some growing pains, you know. We expect some of those, but
it's a beautiful building.
It is a wonderful building. Yes,
it is. You deserve that building.
We are very excited, and all of the proceeds from this event will go toward the building fund. So, and then in honor of Dalton, we will have a hallway that's dedicated to Dalton and the faces of our community.
Great.
And so,
Dalton's Highway, and I have to say that Ann Robinson is one of the most gracious, hardworking individuals and lovely I've ever known.
Isn't she?
Love her. She's wonderful. Yes, she is.
And, you know, a little something about Ann that people might not realize is that when you make a deal with Ann, it stays a deal.
I guarantee you.
I remember when the switchboard merged with the counseling center. There were some things to work out, and she and I did it on a handshake.
Oh, yes. Oh, exactly. Oh, yes.
And to this day, she's never reneged on anything.
I'm extremely passionate about the switchboard.
Yes, yes, yes. Me too. So. I guess I'd still probably hold the record for the longest volunteer at the...
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding? Of course.
I they gave me a plaque.
And we would take you back
I retired after 15 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, because, you know, when it was its own organization and when it went with the counseling center, things changed, and I didn't want to be one of those people that said, well, we used to do it this way.
I know it, yeah.
So... It's a new era and it's really
wonderful.
The switchboard now is being run like we wished it could have been run
when it was
in its own organization.
Right,
the phone gets answered 24 hours a day, which is just magnificent.
And Sally is one of the major ones answering the phone.
Just magnificent.
Yeah. I do from time to time.
Yeah.
It connects me back because, you know, I sit in an office most of the time and I do a lot of stuff in the community, but where I get satisfaction is when I'm taking calls and that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
So even though I'm on staff there, I volunteer as well.
Thank you.
But she does all the other things. If I have a problem,
an issue with Adobe or whatever, she can do everything. Oh, quit it.
She is the go-to person.
Ixnay.
Exactly.
So,
did you... you want to talk about that?
Yes, Illumination Project is coming up, of course, December the 1st. That's World AIDS Day.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, thanks to Jane Wiener and Matt Harris, who are the co-chairs of this event, and Dominic Walsh, of course, started that.
Mm-hmm.
He and Jane 6 years ago, and I sort of became involved about 5 years ago, and... Of course, Dominic Walsh is one of the most incredibly wonderful, generous, lovely, kind human beings I've ever known. So I got a letter in the mail saying that Jane and Matt had decided that maybe Dominic Walsh and Dalton DeHart should be the honorary co-chairs this year, which, as you well know, is not something that I work towards. But
No, I know. You like to stay in the background.
I like to stay in the background because I like to be behind the camera and take pictures of all the beautiful, wonderful human beings in the community and in the city and state and et cetera. But anyway, on December the 1st, which is Saturday, the Illumination Project will have its sixth annual event at the Hobby Center, Zilka Hall, beginning at 8 p.m. Before that, however, at 7 o'clock, we'll have the Beacon Awards will be presented, but then it's an incredibly moving experience. If you've not been to the Illumination Project, it's the most moving, humbling, and supportive activity you've ever seen. We have all these people performing, the people from the Houston Ballet, the Bang Group, the House of Ninja from New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Six of those guys are coming in. Rudy Cravens of the Stages Repertoire Theater will be performing, and we have all these other vocalists and symphony and the Hope Stone Dance, which is, of
dance
course...
Dance and music and voice and...
Jane Wiener is the most incredible, wonderful human being, the person who is behind Hope Stone's dance, and they'll be performing with the Houston Boys Choir, and it is just an incredible experience. At the end of that, of course, we will have a candle lighting ceremony representing those who we've lost to AIDS, and then we all exit silently, and it's just an incredibly moving experience. And then about a half hour or so after that, we will go to a venue and just have a social celebration at Meteor to follow, to celebrate the wonderful event of the day. Of course, we've got all the other events that Sally can tell you about going on as well, such as the AIDS Foundation Houston will have its annual event on Friday, since World AIDS Day is on Saturday. And, of course, we've got, the Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Oh, yes, he's coming to
town. He's going to be here for the AIDS Foundation, the luncheon, and all of the people at AIDS Foundation Houston are so incredibly supportive and just really, really marvelous in the event. And Julie and all the gang just do a great job. And Sally can tell you some other events going on. And I'll
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Chris had said a whole bunch at the beginning of the show. What was really great is that I got a phone call from Dalton, and he said, you know, it's about time that, and you guys probably talked about this a week or so ago.
We did.
You know, putting World AIDS Day back on the map. Mm-hmm. And so through Dalton and through the Illumination Project in Hopestone, a number of nonprofit organizations came together. And through that, we've been able to put together like a clearinghouse of everything going on in conjunction with World AIDS Day. And Chris mentioned at the top of the hour, there's a website where people can go to
mm-hmm.
www.worldaidsdayhouston.org.
Right.
And through this, you can find out what's going on at Montrose Counseling Center. We have a paper chain of remembrance where people decorate a link mm-hmm. in either honor of somebody or a message of hope. And we just every year bring out the paper chain of remembrance, and we keep adding links to it. And then we'll have a candlelight observation for World mm-hmm. AIDS Day on November 30th, which is that Friday. And so you can kind of look and see what's going on Friday, what's going on Saturday. You can kind of schedule what activities you want to participate in.
We were talking about the evolution of World AIDS Day, because the very first couple World AIDS Day, and I remember them vividly, it was called The Day Without Art.
Right, mm-hmm. 19 right. years ago.
And museums would mm-hmm. cover paintings mm-hmm. and all that. And it was almost born, World AIDS Day was almost born out of anger.
Right.
And now it has changed to a more remembrance and hope. And I'm really glad to see that change. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we had the anger at the beginning of the AIDS crisis, and it's time for hope and just remembrance.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the really wonderful things that putting AIDS Day back on the map
mm-hmm.
And through...
Yeah, it did kind of lag.
Yeah,
it did. Yeah, it dropped off.
Yeah, through the Illumination Project, through Hopestone, they are trying to get a number of performing arts venues to participate with a moment of silence
mm-hmm.
where there might be some information, you know, an insert in the program or an announcement on World AIDS Day, December 1st, before every performance that day.
Yes.
And so there's been confirmation from, I know Stages has agreed to do it. There's a children's group that's gonna, you know, a performing group that's gonna do
good.
That. And so, so these, you know, performing arts venues are going back to remember. I mean, let's face it, how many people, you know, in the performing arts have we lost
mm-hmm.
because
yes.
of this horrible,
absolutely.
Devastating
thousands.
Disease?
Absolutely.
So just to take a moment to yeah. remember and reflect.
We talked at length about all of the events last week or the week before.
Yeah, and I don't need to go over all of them. But
I do want to remind folks that on Queer Voices Monday night, they're going to have like a 20-30 minute interview talking about all of the different events going on. So folks should tune in.
Yes, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention the ones at Montrose Council.
Please do.
Yes, in fact, I'm trying to remember that that's the date that Jack had asked me to come back again. I think it might be.
This coming Monday?
I think so, maybe.
See, Jack's been in this business longer than
yes,
me.
Yes, he has been a long time.
Yeah.
Jack's an incredible
he is.
Person, part of the community.
He's one of my favorite people.
Mine, too. Oh, yes, Jack is an incredible
yeah.
human being, yeah. Yep.
Okay.
We have a lot to owe to him, yeah.
Well, guys, thank you for being here.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
Did you tell us all that we needed to hear?
Oh, I think we've covered most everything.
If you've got something else, let me know.
Oh, you know,
it.
I'll keep talking if you'll let me.
Well, you know, we're going to be honoring the event this year. Illumination Project is going to be, it's the sixth annual one, and we're going to be, this is pretty much a fundraiser for, we're going to be doing... Bearing Omega Community
mm-hmm.
Services.
Good.
And for the pediatrics at
no good.
Texas
good,
Children's.
Good.
Yeah, we've done that before. So the Baylor International Pediatric AIDS Institute and Bearing Omega are the ones who will be benefiting from this event.
Good. Good. They need it. They do. Bearing
they
Omega
really, really
does.
Do. And Matt Harris, of course, has just been absolutely magnificent as the chair of this event, with the executive director of Hope Stone, Jane Wiener. They're the two who to be thanked especially. Of course, Dominic Walsh, I mean, my God, who doesn't know Dominic and how wonderful he is and what he's done over the last several years. And, of course, he and Jane are the two who had this idea that we need to do something to honor these people. And so now here we are.
That's great. Okay, December 6th. What time?
Oh, 6 to 8:30.
Right after work.
Over at the Montrose Counseling Center. 401 Brainerd, whatever.
And you can go to our website, www.montrosecounselingcenter.org, and there's a map. And
great.
It'll show you bus lines. Mm-hmm. It'll show you everything on the map. So if you're a little bit confused about that, it's also, it doesn't always come up with the Yahoo Maps or the, you know, MapQuest or Google Maps. So you can find the map at our website.
Plus, we're going to have food, we're going to have wine, we're going to have entertainment, we're going to have a number of local artists who are going to be singing.
Wonderful.
Friends that I've taken pictures of for the last several years. And
they're paying you back.
They are. Yes, I've asked them since it's a fundraiser.
Sure.
But it's more of a toast of Dalton. It's not
sure
a roast of Dalton.
Not a roast, but
no. We
want
to
everyone to be there.
We really do, and I'd love to see
and
all my wonderful
friends. And we're going to bring as many as of those 91 albums as you have taken. Tables for us to put them on.
Exactly. But real quick, though, before we go, I don't know if any of you heard the segment before this, before After Hours, and they were talking about the holidays.
Yes.
And so, and especially depression during the holidays.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know you've got a program going.
Well, we've got, you know, over at Montrose Counseling Center, many people on a regular basis know that they're going to struggle through the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to remind people that if you know you're like that and you just need somebody to talk to, you can contact Montrose Counseling Center. Doesn't mean that you have to, you know, engage in a therapist for a whole year if you just need a little bit of help.
Yeah.
We have a coming out support group that even though it's about coming out, I mean, it talks about different stages of coming out.
Sure.
And so, especially in our community, a lot of people may be struggling with not having a partner, losing a partner. What if you can't be out at home, you know, if
especially during the holidays.
Right, if your family celebrates, everybody in your family, all your siblings and their spouses, but you are not able to bring, you know, your partner.
Or you may not be able to go home at all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, or, you know, your partner has to go home and you're not accepted, and so you stay back behind, you know, all alone. And so how do you manage all those things?
Sure.
And so there is the counseling center, and there is always, as you well know, the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard.
Yes, 713-529-3211.
Yes, so please, if you're struggling, don't just, you know, go into that downward spiral.
That's
you know?
Right.
There
are people out there that can help you and want to.
Exactly. And we know what it's like.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, as we go from Thanksgiving into the holiday season, I just wanted to bring that up.
Good. Thank you so much. And thanks for both of you.
Well, thank you very much.
Here.
And I might say, if people wanted to see additional photos of the last several years, they can just go to www.daltontoheart.com. I've only got about maybe 350,000 out there right now. I have about 800 events, so if they want to see those, they could go there as well.
Dalton DeHart, DeHart.
.com. You betcha.
Okay. Chris, take it away. Transgender's coming up, right? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Behind you. There
Welcome
we go. We're
live. Welcome to Tea Talk with Eminem, Melanie, and Melissa.
Hello.
How are y'all doing out there on this cold, rainy November evening?
Oh, yeah, this is typical Texas weather, isn't it?
Well, I don't know if there's such a thing as typical Texas weather. I'm still trying to figure that out as I am a transplant here recently.
Transplant.
Transplant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're getting watered out there today, I guess.
Oh, yeah, it was kind of chilly. Actually, I was at the hospital all day, so I wasn't really out in it, but it was nice. Yeah. We are here for your transgender radio show here at KPFT, and we have with us in the studio a lovely guest. Her name is Miss Monica Ann. Say hello.
Hi there.
And she is one of our guests. We're going to be talking about the Day of Remembrance, and she was there, so she's actually going to give you some personal reflection on that event and kind of how she experienced that. We're going to talk tonight a little bit also about family. Do you have your script there, Mel?
Yeah, it's right here in my brain where I usually write it.
Monica has it for you.
I don't know. You know, I never take notes.
I know.
I fly by the seat of my pants anyway. But
I'm the noty kind of person.
Yeah, you're the one that takes notes. I leave that up to you. But basically, I said basically we're talking about friends and family and relationships and such like that tonight.
Coming home for the holidays. Yeah. 'Tis the season, folks. And we are going to be coming home to visit our family and seeing all of those wonderful friends and loved ones that I see Monica's got her fingers crossed. That know us and love us so dear and kind of, excuse me, the challenges and issues facing us as transgendered folks. And kind of ways that we can deal with that. Coming up, also, we're going to kind of be doing a local events segment here. And we'll be reading some poetry. So we're going to get started right now with the news and transgender news in the community.
What is new in the community?
What is new in the community? Well,
not
you know,
much.
Last month we were talking about Inda. And unfortunately, we have passed a non-inclusive Employee Non-Discrimination Act. I don't know, for those of you who may not know, the Employee Non-Discrimination Act is legislation that was before Congress. And previously, it was the language included gender and gender expression. And
It used to,
that's right. And I guess, for whatever reason, the powers that be decided that it wasn't going to fly with that language, and so they decided to strip that language and only present a much more watered-down bill. And unfortunately, I think that in the long run, it's going to hurt us more than help us. And
well, not only that, but right now it lists only sexual orientation. And the thing about that, with it excluding the gender identity and gender expression. Yeah, maybe they can't fire you because you're gay, but if you don't fall into the stereotypically accepted definitions of male and female, well, then they can use that. And, you know, if they want to fire you because you don't act masculine enough or don't act feminine enough, then that, you know, basically gives them an opening to do that, and that's not right.
Yeah, and you know, I recently changed jobs, and I didn't really realize it, but I had come out previously to my owners, and they knew that I was a transgender person, and now I'm kind of back in the closet, and it once again, you know, brings to mind all of the things that could possibly happen. You know, I have told them about my girlfriend, you know, and so they know that I'm kind of queer, but they don't really know about my gender history. And being conservative Christians, I don't know how they would react to that. But that saga will continue to unfold. And I've told them that I am doing a radio show on KPFT. And, you know, yeah. And that They may be listening right now. So if you're listening, oh my gosh, I'm a transsexual. And I'm proud.
You're a transsexual?
Yes, okay. Melanie, I'm a transsexual.
Wow. That just blows me away.
Does it?
I would have never known.
Shut up. Stop it.
It's the large sign she wears.
Yeah, big button. I am a transsexual. Also,
nobody ever notices that because they're just looking at your chest anyway. So.
Oh, God. Story of my life. We also have in Georgia, getting back to the news, Miss Michelle Bruce. She is a Georgia politician. She was elected to city council, and she is now in the news. She is being brought before, it looks like, court. She's battling a lawsuit from an unsuccessful opponent and claimed that she misled voters by running as a woman. Now, it's pretty interesting. The city is Riverdale, Georgia, and she's a city council lady. And I think that this probably...
Well, they lost the election, so they, now they're pulling, you know, they're pulling out the transgender card and saying... What, that, you know, they unfairly won the election because they were, you know, they said that they were trans, or how does that work there?
Yeah.
Exactly? Yeah, what are they trying to allege that they did?
Well, they're alleging that she misrepresented herself as a woman, and she is claiming that she has always been Michelle, and that she has never misled anyone. It's a personal issue. She's 46 years old. She runs an auto repossession business, and she began her political career in 2003. And believe it or not, she ran unopposed. So I don't know exactly who is contesting this, but
so she,
I believe it was funny. Open.
So
open
she ran unopposed, and...
Someone is challenging her.
Well, you know, it doesn't... I mean, I can't say one thing. It's like how somebody's gender would affect their job anyway. I don't know. That just... I mean, it's silly. But I think that, you know, people are going to be dissatisfied about something, and they'll pull out whatever they can to start things up.
Well, her opponents are claiming that she misled the voters, and I think it's just probably just sour grapes.
That sounds like it to me.
And in Georgia, you never know. Our brothers and sisters over there are working hard for the money.
Oh, yeah.
Also...
Throwing those peanuts and everything.
Yeah. Even though we didn't get the INDA Act passed with inclusive language. Actually, in Maryland, Montgomery County, the executive Isaiah Legit signed into law a controversial legislation.
Legit?
Legit.
Wow.
What a name, huh? Well, they signed into law legislation banning discrimination against transgender people, and that is in the state legislature, and it actually, imagine that, is being opposed.
Wow.
Yeah, a young lady by the name of Michelle Turner is, she's with members of Citizens for Responsible Curriculum, preparing to sue to have the law put before the voters. So she wants it put before the folks who vote in that county. What do you think about that?
Wow. So, if I get this straight, since you're the one that actually read the article, she's trying to get that, they passed the law saying that it is illegal to discriminate against transgenders, correct?
Yes, that's right. And it takes effect in 90 days.
And so she's saying, oh, well, I would much rather have a law that allows us to discriminate. So they're basically lobbying to be able to discriminate against transgenders. So
that would be correct.
Oh, yeah. Don't you love the modern day and stuff like that?
It's the democratic process. You want to weigh in there, Monica?
I need to step in real quick and say, let everyone know, you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, and listener sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
All right.
Great station ID.
Yes. He keeps us on track.
He's the consummate professional. Yeah. Keep it legit.
Honoring our FCC obligations.
Yeah, when I first started, I tried to stay on top of that and have slowly slacked off, but he's so great at that.
Well, I'm going to get in trouble if we don't say it, so.
Well, thank you so much for keeping on top of that. And thank you, FCC, for keeping us regulated.
Well-regulated.
Well-regulated. Like brand cereal.
Just to keep us regular. That explains a lot of the stuff that's out on the radio anyway.
Back to Maryland. And Monica, do you have any thoughts on this wonderful legislation that is being enacted in 90 days and the lovely lady who is trying to get that out to the voters for their opinion?
Crazy with a capital K. Retroactive discrimination. That's just complete insanity. We haven't invented time travel yet, but apparently she has pioneered the technology to go back in time and take us back behind the calendar before 2007 and just move us back to the dark ages. My comment, crazy with a capital K.
There we have it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's kind of like a time warp, and, you know, I can't believe that people would want to take us back there to those days before we were humans. You know, God forbid we have a pulse and bleed red blood, but we are normal people, and we do need rights because we are discriminated against, even though it may not necessarily be noticed. Also, we have an interesting little article. Claims to be a high level of intersex smallmouth bass in the Potomac and Shenandoah Rivers.
Do they have to transition, I wonder?
I don't know. It is an interesting article. It talks about pharmaceuticals in the water and phosphorus. And
When they say it's in the water, it's really in the water there.
Well, it would be nice to not have to take a pill and just drink your water and have your hormones.
Oh, yeah. That'd be interesting, yeah, wouldn't it?
Is there a joke there somewhere about eating a transsexual fish? I don't know.
The intersex fish, technically.
Well, the article is located on TransHouston under the media, TG Media, if you're interested in reading the whole article. Basically, the gist of it is a report talking about drugs and high levels of pollution in our waterways. And a large incidence of intersex smallmouth bass. So not only are we transitioning, but so is the fish population.
I wonder how many of the fish are gay.
Do you think the usual 10% rule applies there?
No, maybe so.
Oh,
maybe not. I'm not sure. You know, it depends. I guess they have to figure out which one bites on the worm.
We'll save that for another show. That's a whole different topic.
I'm looking at Chris's eyebrow raising in there. As it looks.
This is KPFT Tea Talk, and we are bringing you the transgender news from across the country. We are also wanting to remind everyone that this is the Transgendered Day of Remembrance Month, and we are wrapping it up, but we'll talk a little bit about the different events that were held around the country. Coming up, and how we honored our transgender brothers and sisters here in Houston locally. We're getting ready to have some music here. How you doing in there? Are we ready?
Yeah, ready.
All right, we're going to be listening to some wonderful music that has been pre-selected for this segment. Take it away, folks.
Rows and flows of angel hair, and ice cream castles in the air, and feather canyons everywhere. Looked at clouds that way, but now they only block the sun.
They rain and they snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, still somehow it's cloud illusions I recall. I really don't know clouds. Moons and Junes and fairies' wheels, the dizzy dancing way that you feel, as every fairy tale comes real. I've looked at love that way, but now it's just another show. And you leave them laughing when you go. And if you can, don't let them know. Don't give yourself away. I've looked at love from both sides now, from give and take. Love's illusions that I recall. I really don't know love. I really don't know love at all. And feeling proud to say I love you right out loud. Dreams and schemes and circus crowds. I've looked at life that way. Oh, but now, old friends, they're acting strange. And they shake their heads and they tell me that I've changed. Well, something's lost, but something's gained in living every day. I recall, I really don't know life at all. I really don't know life. I really don't know life at all.
All right, we are back.
And that was Joni Mitchell, Both Sides Now. And the reason I picked that is since we were talking about friends and family, a lot of them have seen sort of both sides of us, and we sort of get to see both sides of them, both before and after our transitions, and end up with some unique perspectives on things like that. So I thought that was an appropriate song to pull out.
I love that song, although I don't remember hearing it quite in such a slow version, but it was nice and mellow.
Yeah, I think that that's a newer version that they did, not the original version. I think that this last one came out in like 2000 or something like that. I'm not sure.
Well, thank you for picking that, Melanie. That was great. Really sets the mood. We are in the studio with Melanie and Melissa, Eminem, Momo, Missy, whatever you want to call me.
Oh, yeah.
We got a letter earlier, and
yeah. First I got to say, thanks for the, okay, someone, someone had a big barrel full of M&M's candies out, and I thought that was an appropriate week. This your candy, Jamie? All right. You were just thinking of us when you got these, huh? That works for me.
Eminem. Yes. We are talking about the Day of Remembrance and also about family and the holidays and dealing with going home and kind of experiences we may have had. And I'm sure that we all will find that we have those common threads with each other that we share. Crazy family members, supportive family members.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you were wanting to mention the letter that we got.
Yeah, I didn't really want to mention it too much, although, you know, if you're wanting to send mail to us, we definitely appreciate that. And
we do read it. We don't always quote it verbatim online and everything. One thing, we did get a letter from a guy who appreciates listening to our show and apparently is a bit enamored of us, but... we are appreciate the support. We do want to let everybody know that both Melissa and I are lesbians, and Melissa is taken.
That's right. Hi, honey. I'm sure you're at home listening.
So, the request to, as the quote was, hook a brother up, is not really something that we're... free to do.
But keep sending in that mail. We'd love to hear from you. And if you're listening...
We appreciate the support, as I say.
If you're listening and want to call in and share any of your experiences with us, or just want to say hey, you can call us at 713-526-KPFT. That is 713-526-5738 with Melanie and Melissa T-Talk.
713-JAM-KPFT.
All right.
There we go.
And we also have in with us Miss Monica Ann. Say hello.
Good evening. Hello.
And you are looking rather lovely. Before we move on, tell us a little bit about what you've been doing this evening.
I went to Chances and had a girl tell me, "My goodness, it's Mary Poppins." I said, No, not completely. I wanted to look like a British spy gal, I think.
Did you have an umbrella? Was that where she got
that's
the Mary
why, because it was raining, I think.
Yeah, I didn't think Mary Poppins wore red, although you are definitely rocking the red dress.
Yeah, and the hemline's a little too high for Mary, I'm afraid.
That's okay.
Theater of the mind, theater of the mind. Hello, radio listeners.
How are y'all doing tonight? This is Melanie and Melissa. And we are talking about the Transgender Day of Remembrance. And this is an international event. I remember my first TG Day of Remembrance. It was back on a cold night, much like this night.
Dark, stormy night.
It was a dark, stormy night. Actually, it was at sunset. And, I remember hearing about, you know, the TG Day of Remembrance, and I wanted to go. Obviously, I transitioned young, for those of you who know me, and for those of you who don't, I transitioned when I was 15, but it was an interesting experience for me.
And I think I transitioned when you were 15 also.
Did you?
Yeah, maybe so, I don't know.
And it's an event that gets together and allows the transgender community to, you know, kind of come together and talk about different issues regarding violence in the transgender community, and also to remember those who have been murdered in the past year. by violence in regards specifically to gender expression. It doesn't always have to be transsexuals, or a lot of times when I actually was looking up research for the names, some of the girls are just cross-dressers, or, you know, people who were caught by someone walking in and was cross-dressing. But it's a pretty sobering event, but it's also a time to reflect and to heal and to, you know, really remember that we are people, and that if we don't stand up for ourselves and, you know, kind of say, this is not right, who will? So,
it's like the old thing where they used to say silence equals death.
That's right.
So, it has to, you know, have to say something.
And it was quite appropriate. The events are held around the world, and it's targeted around the end of the month of November, but ours was actually here locally for the one that I was involved with. There was two events, but it was November 17th. It was on a Saturday, and it was at the Holocaust Museum. And I don't know if very many of you know this. It's something that I recently learned. But transgendered folks were among one of the first to be persecuted. And it was during the Nazi regime. It was the Night of the Long Knives. And I believe it was Dr. Magnus Hirschfeld. Does that sound right, Melanie? You're usually the book person.
I'm not sure.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Magnus Hirschfeld. And he ran a clinic for transgendered individuals. And I don't believe that's the exact terminology that they used, but they raided his clinic and burned all of his research and records involving research on transgendered individuals. And that was the beginning of, you know, the Holocaust. And I thought it was very poignant to have it there. And they were one of the sponsors. I thought that was really cool to tie that in.
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make the one this year, but I've went through just about all the ones they've had in the recent past. And they had the thing outside, a little candlelight vigil in front of City Hall. And they did that for several years. And then I believe it was just last year that they started having them at the Holocaust Museum. And the event sort of grown. And they have other things, like one of the things I wasn't able to participate in either, but they, I've got some friends that do web comics, and they have transgender web comics, and they even have the, on that day, they'll black out their websites, or they'll have a special web comic dedicated to the Day of Remembrance. And my friend Jen Delari, that draws a comic called Closet Space, is one of the ones that heads that up. But you can,
Monica, yeah. Why don't you share with us some thoughts and observations? I was part of the reading of the names, and we'll actually read the names off here for you listeners as well, to once again, you know, let you know who our dead are, and to kind of keep that in mind. But talk to us a little bit about the experience. You were there, and tell us what you thought.
Well, I have a lot of things to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, my grandfather was a veteran of World War II, and I came to really understand Hitler and Mein Kampf and just the utter madness that they put people through. The mayor's office came, issued a proclamation from the city of Houston. We had a staffer visit from city council, and she even mentioned to us at the event that there are future plans to possibly host this at the mayor's office, you know,
at the city hall.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I thought that
was
moving.
Level.
For me, though, coming from a cinema background, this was my first event. I'm new to the community, and I thought it was very pro that we were at the Holocaust Museum itself. To back up your comments, transgendered folks, the GLBT community in Nazi Germany, pre-Weimar Republic, they were persecuted first. They were given the pink triangle. It was very moving, very sobering. Exactly.
Yes. They were, I just brought out the article. It was Dr. Magnus Hirschfeld, and he was one of the first to coin the two of the most popular terms to describe transgenderism, transvestism. I don't know if that's correct.
Transvestism.
And later transsexualism.
Right.
And they actually had that in the Holocaust Museum, that where they were burning the books and information from his institute. And they've got pictures if you were there. I think on transhouston.com they have a link as well. But a list of the people in the death camps wearing the pink triangles. Why don't you share with us a little bit about the mood and kind of your experience as you saw it coming in? There was a wine and cheese reception, and people were previewing the Holocaust exhibits.
I think it was very emotional, very sobering. It really brought it home. And the fact that there are names here with pictures keeps it from being abstracted. And Remember Our Dead, we rang a bell every time a name was read out loud. Now, the thing that I was going to allude to, theater of the mind, radio, TV, film, yada, yada, the reason I liked this was because it was read point of view of the person who was killed. In other words, they gave a death-by-death description of how they were killed. They wouldn't have known that. And I thought that was extremely chilling. You know, I was shot in the back of the head. I was walking home from work. My God, I mean, that really brings it home for me.
Yeah, you know? And I don't know, Melanie, you haven't had a chance to look at that. Feel free to take a chance and look at that. But one of the statistics that was actually mentioned is that 50% of TGs have been a victim of assault. And I think that that really speaks to the need for, you know, visibility. Monica talked about the city of Houston issuing a proclamation. Sue Level had talked about that a little bit. And there was also an event held on City Hall. It was another event that was held on the actual day of remembrance that was remembered. But I think what's most important is to remember those people and to not let them kind of fade into the darkness. I have a list of the names. Yes?
I was going to add real quickly. My perspective as a Buddhist is that in any religion, this is cause and effect. And if it happens to, quote, them, it happens to, quote, you. And I know in the back, I think I had cited something that was a quote from World War II. It was a minister. Where is that? There it is. Can I read that out loud?
Sure,
is that okay?
Read that.
How much time have we got? Are we all right?
Yeah, we're doing good on time.
This is from German pastor Martin Niemöller. In Germany, when they came for the communist, I didn't speak up because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak up because I was not a Jew. Then they came for the unionist, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a unionist. Then they came for the Catholics, and I didn't speak up because I was a Protestant. Then they came for me, and by that time there was no one left to speak up. Well, that pretty much sums up Hitler's Mein Kampf, and it really sums up what I noticed about the Day of Remembrance, and the fact that it was at the Holocaust Museum was very topical, I think, and very relevant. But it really brought it home. It was quite sobering. And to see their pictures and hear their story point of view, that was extremely chilling.
Right now I'm going to read off and give you some background on the folks that have been killed. Just once again to memorialize the folks. We have Maribella Reyes from Houston, Texas. And Victoria Ariano from San Pedro, California. Ruby Rodriguez, San Francisco, California. Nakia Liddell Baker from Nashville, Tennessee. Michelle Carrasco Sheila from Santiago, Chile. Brett T. Turner, Madison, Wisconsin. Kitarat Longnawa from Rosada, Thailand. Moyar Donair Gonzalez from Vina del Mar, Chile. Erica Peel, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, unidentified transgender in Kingston, Jamaica, Oscar Mosquita, Daytona Beach, Florida, Hassan Tamara Saba, Baghdad, Iraq. And those are the folks that actually have made it into the media and been reported, but as those of us who know, a lot of times we don't even make it into the media. But we wish you peace and to remember our folks who have passed on. Right now we're going to move on into a poetry segment. I met Jimmy at the Day of Remembrance, and I was going to come in actually and plug some poetry. They had a poetry reading segment. I thought it would be cool to read some of our poetry. If anyone has any poetry, I don't know, Melanie is the artist here, Mel. So her poetry and art, you can't really read over the air. But
I
tend to write poetry, so I want to share with you one of the poems that I wrote. And this is untitled, but I was sitting and thinking and writing one day. As I sit and think about my life, all of the pain I felt and all of the strife, I think of my purpose, will the world ever see? Just who I am on the inside, the real true me. I go through the motions the same day to day. What if they knew my secrets? What would people say? The end.
That's very good.
So, that is one of my poems.
Yeah, I find myself nodding my head. I understand.
Yeah.
Mm. And
most of my poems are buried on a hard drive somewhere.
Well, I've got my laptop here.
Yeah, one of my, I've got a short poem I read. A lot of my poems are a bit morbid and morose and gothic and all that stuff. But I had one that, actually, I titled the thing Funky Onions.
Funky Onions.
Funky Onions. If I can remember exactly how the wording goes, is that people are like onions. Beneath each skin is another skin. And as you unpeel them, eventually all you have left is a table full of skins. No wonder I hate onions.
Good poem. Also, here's another poem I wrote. It's entitled The Rain. Here comes the rain, falling on the window pane. Here comes the tears, rolling down into a stain. I lay down across the empty bed. All these thoughts come into my head. On my mind were days so long ago. The turns life takes, none of us know. I lay on my back as I do now, my friend, this journey just beginning, not knowing where it would end. My choice so clear, the path so straight and true. Sometimes it is lonely, but this was nothing new. To be the woman that I knew I should be, would I ever know what it's like to be free? The lightning flashes and the thunder breaks. I lay there thinking about the twists life takes. I get to my feet and walk into the rain. Maybe the cold wind will numb some of the pain. The rain falling on me, hiding the tears. The end is near, gone are my fears. That reminds me of tonight, actually, the cold rain.
Wow.
The cold rain, yeah. And the cold at the Renaissance Fair on Friday.
Ooh, don't remind me. Note to the Ren Fair organizers, more hot chocolate. Much more.
I just love the looks you guys were giving me while I was walking around eating a snow cone.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if anyone is out there listening or if you have any.
There's like probably three people
views.
Out there that are listening.
Well, I would definitely probably be snuggled up in bed listening to KPFT, of course, as I do every Saturday evening, Sunday morning.
You listen to this station?
Yes, I listen to the station. I even have a bumper sticker. Isn't
wow.
that great? And this is listener-supported radio, so it's important for you to call in and pledge your support to us, because yeah. without you, we are not here. Thank you so much for listening to us and giving us your support. I'm sure Jimmy's somewhere saying, yes, yes. I have to plug that.
Yeah, even though we're not, they're not doing a pledge drive right now, you can always donate, so that's always good.
That's
is
right.
Is that right, Chris? Chris is like looking at me funny.
You should be used to that funny look. Yes, you can always go to kpft.org and place a pledge of support there.
That's right. And
I didn't say I wasn't used to the look. I just noticed that you're giving it to me again.
We always need money. How are we doing on time there? Looks like it's 2:30.
About 20 minutes.
About 20 minutes. All right. Moving on. We are going to be talking about family and coming home for the holidays. Ho, ho, ho.
Don't call me that.
The holidays are upon us. And, of course, I don't know how your family is, but... Hey, mine's crazy.
Yeah, my family's distant. Literally, they're way back in Indiana, which is, I'm sure, a place you know well, since we're both from there. That's right. You know, transsexuals come all the way to Houston.
Yes.
It's some magnetic draw, I suppose. It must be this radio station.
And listeners, what a coincidence. I am, too, from Indiana, believe it or not. And so that would be two radio hosts.
It's something in the water up there.
In Houston.
The largemouth bass or something, I don't know. All the corn.
Once again, that number is 713-526-KPFT if you want to call in and share some of your crazy holiday stories. I know that coming into the holidays, it brings back lots of memories. And I remember specifically a couple incidences. One where my mother was transitioning with me, and I say transitioning with me because when we transition, we don't realize it, but those folks around us are transitioning as well, and they go to that same place and those same processes, and I think it's important to remember that and to kind of be patient with your family. And she, of course, was heeing me and hemming me down, and I remember that Christmas where... my gay uncle was giving me all these fabulous jewelry sets and cute dresses. And
you had a gay uncle. That's awesome.
Everyone else was giving me footballs and, well, footballs, which, yeah. Being in Texas, I do like football, but I wasn't really into it at the time. So
you're just using the stuff your bra, I guess.
Actually, no. I was... kind of well developed at that age.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't tell everybody that. We'll get more requests to hook them up there.
Well, it's not never that mind. Kind of show. Don't listen. Well, I don't know. I guess. But then I remember several years later, as I had transitioned, and I remember listening, and I don't know. But the women in my family, we all have a tradition of gathering in the kitchen and kind of pushing the guys out to the hall, and the women folk would be in the kitchen preparing the holiday meal. And I had actually been initiated into the circle, and that's how I knew that I had finally been approved by the family, and they knew that this just wasn't going to go away. And Melissa wasn't just a passing phase. And I remember I was in the other room, and I overheard my mom telling my aunt how proud of her daughter that she was, and Melissa was doing so well. I think I was going back to school to get my GED, and that's a whole nother show, but I was listening to her, and I just remember, you know, feeling so proud that my mother had finally come to accept me, and then it had just taken some time. So I don't know, any family memories that you wish to revisit?
For me, since I went through my transition, I really haven't been around my family that much. Part of it is just the with them living so far away, because I'd moved down here because my family was down here at the time, and then after I got down here, they all one by one moved back to Indiana. So I really haven't had any Christmas or Thanksgiving or other holidays together. I have went back and visited, like, twice since I transitioned.
And how was that for you?
The first time I went back was I was going to my high school reunion, which was kind of interesting because I wasn't one of the popular kids. I was one of the nerds and everything. So basically, I went back to my high school reunion and got ignored by everyone that used to ignore me before transition. I don't even think anybody noticed that I had transitioned. They just, you know, had their own little...
Monica's shaking
like
her head there. And
I think, because, well, when I went back, I basically passed away, so they were basically like, well, I don't remember you from school, and I had to tell them who I was, and they were like, oh, okay, and then they would go on, so... it just was not, you know, they were more interested in this one guy that was a sous chef or something like that. They were in my transition, so that was just kind of strange. But as far as the family goes, you know, they had a hard time with the names and the pronouns and stuff for a long time. I think they're finally getting it and all that, but just the fact that I'm not around them very much.
Yeah.
They, I think they tend to just, with each other, call me by, like, my old name and use the old pronouns and everything. And I think they probably, you know, at least they're using the right names and the right pronouns around me now when I do see them and things like that. But, like, my brother still calls me up and says, hey, dude, and that kind of thing, which, you know, I mean, it's not a,
I think
not
some
a big
people
deal,
get
but,
freaked out about, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's not a big deal for me, because one thing, I know my family cares about me,
mm-hmm.
and there's not really hostility. I mean, as, like, my brother said one time, he was like, you know, I don't really, as long as you're happy, as long as, you know, just do what makes you happy, and that's kind of my whole family's sort of point of view on it. So I really haven't got a lot of the hostility that some people get.
Unlike my crazy cousin who told her, my other cousins, not to come near me because I was a child molester, and to call me he and him and my other name. Which coincidentally was very gender ambiguous. It was Lynn. So, isn't that interesting? Monica, family, holidays. Share your thoughts.
Oh, my God. How surreal. I'm from Houston, and a lot of people I knew growing up are from the upper Midwest, Indiana, Illinois, so forth.
Yeah.
I was thinking when you were talking about the whole high school reunion, it's kind of, here's the word you can say on the air, anticlimax. Now, why am I saying that? Ooh. All right. You're listening, and you have stereotypes, and you ask yourself, what in the heck is transgender? What in the heck is a transsexual? What in the hell is a transvestite? So, for me, I'm kind of new to this, and paradoxically, I come from a very conservative background. And when you transition, you remain as you are. It's not that big a deal. You're just normalizing. And a friend of mine who's older and genetic, a supporter,
mm-hmm.
she just basically said, well, you seem a lot happier now than you were then. And I'm like, well, yeah, it's about being normal. It's not about being crazy. And really, that's what this show is. We're telling you, we're people, we're human beings. This is about normalizing ourselves, not wigging out to Crazyville. And I was going to mention the little notes I put here. Crazy makers and poison parents. We all have those whether we transition or not. Julia Cameron mentions it in The Artist Way. And I just find it ironic that this is very myoho or mystic for me as a Buddhist.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was joking earlier with Vanity across town that I'm having trouble keeping track of the abbreviations. And for me, I kind of at first felt like an outsider, but then I went to the TATS meeting and got a glimpse of my future. These are women who've already transitioned, and the anticlimax thing for me is it. It's just about normalizing yourself. So if you're listening and you're driving around in the car, you're going KPFT, you know, these people, what's the deal, you know, that's it. I used to be one of those listeners who said, what in the heck are they talking about? What are all these abbreviations? I don't get it. Now I'm here in my skin transitioning, and, well, this is all about making yourself normal. This ain't about being crazy. That's the point, really. We just want to be ourselves. That's it. It's not that exciting. Sorry to disappoint you. But here it is.
Yeah, it's all the rest of the people that make us crazy, I think.
That's right.
Like so waiting 20
minutes
for some
tacos. If your family members listening out there, just back off. No, I'm joking.
Can I tell a joke about my mom?
Sure, tell a mom joke.
She can't hear it anyway. She's up in Tahlequah. What the heck?
She's deaf?
No, the radio station doesn't transmit that far. Knock on wood.
She's listening over the internet.
All right.
No, she's not. Thank you for plugging the station, 90.1 KPFT. Call now. My mom said, well, what do you mean you're transsexual? Why can't you be gay? And my response was, well, Mom, the switch in the back of my head that lets me be gay rusted off. So I had to, you know, remove the switch. I tried to find the switch in the back of my head, but alas, it's not there. So that's my little joke.
Well, it's like if they ask me, why can't you just be gay? I'm like, oh, I'm transsexual and gay because I'm a lesbian, so...
Well, I think it's interesting as we go back to kind of remember to be patient. And I think education is the biggest tool. I think that, you know, looking back at my family and kind of the advice they gave me, they told me that, you know, this is just a phase or, you know, everybody goes through this. And I would say we know ourselves and to just really educate them, get them some good books. And, you know, let them read up on the subject before, you know, you cut ties. I know a lot of my girlfriends and brothers have severed ties with their family. And, you know, I've often said that we have our birth family and then our chosen family. And that is the family that we choose to have in our lives. And I think that, you know, during this time, we spend a lot of time with our chosen families as well as our birth families. But, you know, give them time and educate them. That's the biggest thing that you can do, you know, and we owe it to ourselves to be able to stand, you know, we owe it to ourselves to be able to stand up and speak up about who we are and, you know, that we are real people. We've got some events going on in the community. We have coming up November 30th. That is a Friday. The World AIDS Day, and that is an event that's going to be going on at the Houston Area Community Services Clinic. That is now offering sliding scale services for TG. It's on certain days, but if you go to www.transhouston.com and look up the information on the website, the HAGS Clinic is offering a service from 1 until 4, and they're giving actually tours and also information that is available regarding HIV statistics. And coming up, you know, December 1st is World AIDS Day, and I have a statistic that I wanted to read for everyone. 27% of TGs are HIV positive, and I think that that is something that we may discuss later on next show. Next month, but being World AIDS Day and World AIDS Month, about us and different situations that we may as transgender people put ourselves in and put ourselves at risk. And also we'll be discussing depression next month. But if you get a chance, go to www.transhouston.com and look that up. It's World AIDS Day, November 30th. From 1 until 4 at the Houston Area Community Services Clinic. Also, we have on Monday nights HTGA. It's Houston Transgendered Anonymous Meetings from 7 to 9, and that is located at the Bering Memorial Church for now. I know we're moving that, but you can actually check the website and get information on that, and it meets every Monday. And then they also have the TG Social every Thursday. So if you're here local, you're listening, and you want to get plugged into the community, those are two really great opportunities to come and kind of be anonymous and, you know, kind of plug in. And I know I met Monica there and Melanie, so it's a great way to meet new friends and to really get plugged in. Also, you know, anytime you want to come down to the station, maybe get on air. We do this every third Sunday morning, or every fourth. Okay,
fourth Saturday.
Fourth, well, it's Sunday, really.
Or is it there?
Yeah.
Wow.
Every fourth Sunday. Anyway, Saturday evening. Come on down, and
it's Saturday night tonight.
Talk to us. We'll put you on the air.
It's the fourth. You're on the fourth Saturday of the month.
Fourth Saturday, Queer Voices.
After hours.
After
Queer Voices, okay. Another show.
Yeah, I have not had my coffee.
Melissa is tired. I had to wake her up at midnight to get her over here.
Hey, I was having a nap or whatever.
A nap.
My girlfriend's been teasing me.
The nape is that thing on the back of your neck.
No, that actually, my girlfriend, I was typing when I opened and put nape because I'm a hairdresser, and I'm used to putting notes in the computer, and now she teases me horribly because I say nap, and she says, do you mean nape? So, yeah.
So
it's a private joke.
Nap that goes with the hair thing, too, doesn't it?
It's actually nape, yes. Yeah. It's hair, but...
Well, I've heard of nappy hair, so that, yeah.
Well, I don't like nappy hair. But anyway, moving on. go to www.transhouston.com and... read about the events coming up in the community, and we are going to now kind of have a free-for-all, I guess, until
we can throw chairs around at all.
2 minutes?
Yeah, all right. 2 minutes. We have a free-for-all for 2 minutes.
120 seconds of airtime and ticking.
Yeah, one of the things one of our folks here in the studio was talking about, the Transgender Day of Remembrance, and looking over the names, you know, one of the things that was said by Lily Roddy, she is the chairperson for the Houston Transgender Unity Committee. Yes, Melanie?
Oh, our friend here was reading one of the reading through the Day of Remembrance pamphlet, and one of the names, one of the entries, caught his attention. Richard Goldman. It says shot and killed by father. Date of death, December 29th, 1991. But, I mean, stuff like that, it's like, that's just unbelievable. It's like somebody's, you know, own parent, you know, shot them, you know, for being transgendered.
And a lot of times, if you read on the Transgender Day of Remembrance, a lot of the ways that these ladies and guys have been killed, it's very brutal. And a lot of times, beaten or... stabbed.
Yeah, just looking
mutilated.
On this page, going just skimming through them real quick. Let's see, what do we have here as things? Shot 16 times, pistol whipped, tied with speaker wire, and gagged with a sock taped in her mouth. That was just one entry. What do we have? Stabbed to death, beaten to death, stabbed repeatedly and castrated, bludgeoned to death, shot in the face, beaten, and sexually mutilated. Multiple stab wounds, shot 10 times in the leg, chest, and stomach with a 9mm pistol. And the list goes on, and it's like when these things happen, it's not as simple of, you know, somebody went and got shot once. It's like a lot of these are just really, really brutal killings and things. And it's not just like they're just wanting to kill them. It's almost like they're trying to just totally erase them. And it's just amazing that people harbor that sort of hate for somebody that's just trying to be themselves.
So when is the next show for our listeners?
The next show will be, hold on right here. We've got it.
What is our date for next month's show?
That would be December 22nd, 23rd. And that is at 1:30. Yes, I'm looking at the calendar. And that's actually before the holidays. So tune in for our Christmas show, and I hope to have some queer Christmas music.
Oh, that would be great.
That's something that I used to do.
Oh, we always play Christmas, queer Christmas music.
Woohoo! Right. Do you have All I Want for Christmas is a Boob Job? Because that was one of my favorites.
Don't think we have that.
I don't even need a song for that. That's my personal Christmas list.
When I was an entertainer, that used to be one of my songs.
Christmas as a woman.
Do you?
Yes.
Do you have that one, walking around in women's underwear?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
that's
one's called.
Right.
So,
very
join us December 23rd, 1:30 in the morning. We will be here, and we will be as transgendered as it gets.
Okay,
with
queer and queer.
Eminem, Melanie, and Melissa, and who knows, maybe Monica. Eminem.
Mercy.
This has been the Eminem Tea Talk Show here at KPFT, and we are out. See you later. Thanks.
Baby girl, how you been? At the spot with your friends. Same old thing you told me then. You didn't have to lie again. What they say is true. The mirror can be very cruel. Everything you've done to me, you know what they did it to. Girl, and it's sad all the time that we waste, making others believe we're okay. Just make believe. But I know you and I both agree.
even though it's a shame. Love is gone, where should we stay? It's time to go our separate ways. And it's good to finally stop pretending that we're happy. Yeah, it's time to let it go, girl. And I know that it's not so easy, but it's time that we just let it be. It's alright, I don't wanna see life pass us by. And all of the smiles we bring and the plans we bring, the give and take.
Yes.
That was called Dead Air.
And that was Joshua Clip?
Yes.
With, which one did you do?
The third one.
Time We Don't Have to Waste. Joshua Clip, transgender artist.
All right, I'll say it now so I can get it out here.
Please do.
Go escape. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Ish.
I remember when I used to be able to say that with one breath.
Yeah, I know. What's the deal?
I guess it's that peach cigar from earlier today.
It's getting old.
I see.
Yeah.
It is time for the bye segment.
Hello.
Hey. Hello. How you doing?
Doing fine.
Good, good. What's up? Who are you?
I'm David.
I'm Robin.
I also go by, you know, sometimes named the Great Bear, spiritual name.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about bisexuality and what that is and ain't and somewhere
good.
In between.
Good.
And sort of just, you know, just kind of a general theme for tonight might be kind of talk about, you know, bisexual resources.
Oh, yeah. You good know, idea.
About, you know, but, you know, someone... Yeah.
Because it's not like people can go to a bisexual bar.
Nope.
Like what bar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So resources are really important to the bi community,
right.
I think. More so than any of the other queer communities.
Probably is. I mean, it's not an idea for a subject which I've tossed from my head. I'm kind of reluctant to get more into details because I want to do some more research. It's sort of just a subject of bi invisibility.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know,
right.
I remember here 2 or 3 months ago, you know, we were all out and back on the patio, on the porch, And there was a man there who I think is involved with the Colt 45s.
Okay.
And what, you know,
Stephen.
Yeah, he's apparently identifies himself as bi.
He is.
And apparently was talking about or complaining how you want to see it. But experience he's had may go on, say, one of the clubs here, and he's somehow lets it know he's bi, and, you know, they, you know, give him the cold shoulder or something like
yes.
that.
Yes.
And that's part of the idea, of course, the idea about resources. You know, if someone, by whatever process, they come to realize, yes, I'm capable of having some sort of sexual attraction to both men and women. And, you know, how, you know, what is this? What kind of, you know, do you, how to, you know, experience this? What is it? Well, it reminds me, I forget the woman's name, but there is a psychologist or psychotherapist here in town, woman, lesbian. She had published an article in the Outsmart magazine here a couple years ago, talking about the needs that GLBT people have, the psychological needs they have, and the problems they might run into if they work with a therapist who does not have experience
yes.
working with these people. And things she's been doing to help correct that. And within the article, there was a little column talking about maybe sort of the special needs that the G, the B, the G, the L, and the B, and the T's need.
Yes.
And for the bisexuals, and this is kind of what I picked up on, because, you know, this has been part of my issue, what a bisexual person might most need is validation.
You bet.
That, yes, this is real.
You bet.
That it is, you know, whatever form it takes, it is, yeah, it is definitely, there are people who can say, yeah, I'm interested in both. You know, yeah, you know, nature might favor one or the other, but sometimes mm-hmm. like, yeah, I might kind of favor this side of the spectrum, but I do have at least some interest in the other, and may want to kind of work back and forth.
Yeah.
And, of course, the question there is, who do you talk to about this?
I think more so in the bi community than anybody else, there's a spectrum of
right.
bisexuality.
Right.
You know, from just a little bit to a whole lot.
Right. And I want to think about my own history. Till maybe roughly 10 years ago, I just thought I was straight.
Mm-hmm.
But when I really think about it, no, I've had some bisexual tendencies. I just really did not recognize them. Because, one, I didn't know there was such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the other thing is I might hear something. You know, I might see some guys say, you know, that guy looked kind of cute. But it's like, wait a minute, look at that guy. I'm not supposed to be doing that.
Uh-huh.
You know, or, you know, why am
censor
I feeling...
Censor yourself.
Right.
Repress yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, me, it was more like I had the feelings and stuff, but then it was like I never heard the word bi mm-hmm. until I was in my 20s. So it was kind of like, I like that woman and everything. She looks good and everything, but it's like... It doesn't make any sense, because I still like guys, too, so it's kind of like, you know, you're just confused. You're just like, right. Oh, don't make any sense.
I've heard that a lot from bisexual people, that they're confused because
right.
they think they're either supposed to be straight or gay.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then when they're not either one, or a little bit of both, it's completely confusing until they finally realize, oh, bisexual.
Right.
I mean, I didn't know what that was. I was like in my mid, late 20s,
because
I met Stacy.
Yes.
And she said, hey, you ever heard of bi Ned? And I'm going, bi Ned? She said, you should go to the meeting. So we ended up going to Hive, and that's when I met Gigi.
Mm-hmm.
And Gigi explained it, and it's like, I wanted to kiss the guy because it's like, oh my God, that's what that. Because
you
actually,
didn't?
I probably did, but anyway.
Yeah.
But actually,
probably did more than that.
I was basically perpetrating this gay as lesbian for about 4 years.
Yeah.
Before I ran into GD.
Yeah, I'd say that's a similar situation in that, you know, I would say that while I would say I consider myself straight, my basic nature is that way.
Mm hmm.
I mean, I can't design myself out of a paper bag if I had to. you see my bedroom, you know what I mean. Yeah. But anyway, you know, be hearing stuff that, you know, I'm straight guy. Yeah, I'm listening to After Hours. Where Radio Attitude, what's that about? You know, I remember listening to the old Wildenstein show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just curious.
There you,
know,
you go.
You know, I mean, where you say, you know, oh, I see that guy's, oh, he's hot. But there was just something I'm hearing gay people talking about and find myself, I get it. You know, maybe I don't,
sure,
you know, look at a guy and say, oh, look at him. You know, but I can hear your stories. And so, like, there's something going on here. I'm curious.
Yeah.
You know, the term bi-curious been tossed around.
Now, for the rest of our audience, I want them to know that just because you're listening to this show doesn't mean that you're gay or bisexual.
Right.
Or, you know, a lot of straight people do listen to
right.
this show and
mm-hmm.
get educated,
mm-hmm.
especially in the fields of bisexuality and transgenderism.
Right. I mean, it's just
this show has educated more people on just those two subjects alone.
Right.
But maybe you fit that bisexuality, or
yeah.
maybe you fit it just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the segment for you to listen to.
Right.
I mean, I remember when I was pretending like I was perpetrating being a lesbian, and I would always say, well, yeah, I still like men. I say, well, I look at men more like as toys, and being
oh, I
women
do too.
Is more like relationships.
You're right.
And, I mean, that's what I used to say mm-hmm. to people when they used to ask me, well, you're attracted to men. I said, well, I look at more like this, them as toys and with women more relationship until I really came out being bisexual. I would do that.
Hey, you can play my toy anytime.
And I bet she does.
Oh, yes. Well, like I said, for me, it's like, you know, the coming out process. And in some ways, I argue I'm still kind of coming out to myself because I can still, that little, you know, a little bit of a homophobic tendency can still kick in every now and then. It's not like I'm looking at a game that guy, oh, I'm afraid of him. No, I'm still reacting to my own feelings. And so for me, you know, it's kind of, you know, again, it's getting that validation or finally talking to these people and say, does it, you know, this is my experience. Does this make sense? You know, and like I said, just kind of finding out, yes, maybe it's all right. Maybe that is what's going on. And we're talking about, you know, resources. Obviously, this show is a resource. We're talking about this subject right now. I mean, you know, we kind of inherited, Rob and I inherited this segment originally from Gigi.
Yes.
We've been doing this for several years. And his energy was taking a different direction. So we kind of like, I think it was Rob and I actually asked him, hey, can we take over? And Gigi said, yeah, go for it. So that's what we've been doing this probably right about a year, I think. I'd have to go look at my calendar. We've probably been doing this little segment since last fall.
Just about, yeah.
Okay, so we need to celebrate. We'll do that later. Anyway. But as far as, you know, resources concerned, yeah, obviously the show, there are groups available. Rob and I are involved with the Bisexual Network of Houston, otherwise known as Binet Houston.
And there's other places like they have PFLAG.
Yeah.
They actually have a whole section and actually a documentary on people that's trying to come out by. To talk to them, and they are basically sensitive to that theory, too. So you can always go to PFLAG, you know,
mm-hmm.
for help with that, too.
There are other Binet groups. I'm actually signed up with a Yahoo group for the Binet Austin group. Okay. Always have some lively conversations on that group. And there is I think it's Binet USA. That's a national organization.
Yes. They have conference and meetings every year in different parts of the state or country. That, you know, every now and then we would have us, Binet Houston, every now and then we would have Bicamp. And
right.
We plan to maybe have that situated in the future.
Yeah, sometime next year.
And this Thanksgiving, we had a Thanksgiving celebration.
Yeah.
Where most of the bi's, some, you know, other people just invited.
About a dozen of us met over at Rose and Pago's home. They're heavily involved in the Binet Houston group. They were hosting, you know, a Thanksgiving dinner.
And a lot of times they have the Thanksgiving dinner because a lot of the people either have, you know, moved from out of town. Mm-hmm. And they just can't afford to maybe go to the original family. Some of them are, you know, outcashed.
Right.
Or something. And, you know, it's great to be able to go somewhere and have dinner. You feel like you with family. But most of the people there are bi. But, you know, we had people like transgender, like Marilyn and all those people
right.
were there. Anybody that's willing to come. you know, we try to do other little things every now and then. Like this Christmas, we're planning to have to buy movie night.
Yeah.
And it's going to be themed around the AIDS month.
That's next Saturday.
And they're planning to play the movie Attack of the Killer Condoms. I could imagine, Jimmy, you remember that movie.
I loved that movie. That was so funny.
Was in the hot tub when you saw that and you was like, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Attack of the Killer Condoms. And Jimmy had this interesting look on his face like, what? But yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is more of an allergy to latex.
A really bad allergy to latex.
Right.
But, I mean, we every, you know, and Gene, he usually has his, like, parties on New Year's Eve. And
right.
He's bisexual, and so he invites, you know, bisexuals included, and, you know, the nudist group. And
right.
And the, what you call it? The gay man nudist group.
Yeah, I'm involved with that.
And the polyamorous groups and all of that. But he's basically a bi theme too. So we have like different events going on all the time. And a lot of times you can go on the website.
Right.
And get the information. But this movie night is going to be very interesting. Because we're going to actually have more food. And what else did we was planning to do?
Personally, I don't know.
Well, we're just going to run the movie.
Yeah.
And the theme is on the AIDS, because this is like this month.
Yeah.
So we're going to have, like, pushing the AIDS protection, wearing protection.
You know, awareness.
And being awareness, because
right.
Bisexuals can get AIDS just as bad
definitely.
As anybody
yeah.
else
supposedly
can.
We're the ones who got it. Moved it from the gays to the straights.
Yeah, supposedly. That's the. I mean, you got the down low situation where some, like African American males, they call
right.
it on then on a down low.
You're right.
And surprisingly, a lot of those guys are bisexual because they don't want to leave their wife. They love
right.
their wife and everything. They enjoy being with her, but then they like to be with a guy.
Yeah.
But because the wife doesn't, might not accept that. They kind of keep it a secret, or maybe the church they go to or whatever don't accept it, and they don't want to be outcast from the church or job or whatever the situation. They keep it on a down low. But the downside of that is a lot of these guys like to do it bareback.
Right.
So we would like them, you know, if you're going to go, you know, down low, at least go down low, you know, where, you know.
Do it.
Be safe
be
with
safe
it.
Be safe about it. Wrapped
don't
up
bring,
principle.
Don't bring something home to your family.
You really,
you know. So that's one of the major things that's been going on in the black community is the AIDS virus is really
mm-hmm.
spread rapidly among African American, especially females. And it's like, well, why does she get AIDS? She's not on drugs. She's not shooting up, or she's not sleeping with every other person in town. So what's up with that? You know. So that's a lot of. A husband is basically out doing it bareback and coming back home.
Bring back a little surprise.
Yeah, so, yeah, you like said, wrap that little rascal.
Yeah, right. There's been various publications around. Right, a good source of information is on the Internet. There's various websites available. I know Binet Houston does have a website. I forget the exact address right now. But do we do have one? I guess I've had to just do a word search on Binet Houston. I know there's been various publications around. There's one that I think is no longer being published, but it was called Anything That Moves.
I have not heard anything about that publication in a couple of years now.
The last time I looked at their website, this has probably been a year or more ago, the website hadn't changed since a year before, so... So I kind of suspect that magazine is gone away. But there's been, like I said, there's other publications. And like I said, most of that stuff's available on the Internet.
Well, I wanted to bring up the subject about the bi movie night.
Yeah.
To let everybody know that if you decided to come, you don't even have to be bisexual to come. Anybody can come.
Right.
Free food, you know. You know.
Kind of potluck.
You can bring something. You can bring your own drinks, soda, water, tea, whatever. And it's next Saturday. It's going to be at the Gay and Lesbian Center. Is that right?
Yeah, they're at the corner of Hawthorne
and Montrose on the 3400 building.
Yeah, second floor.
Same place where the Sky Bar is at.
Yeah.
And I think it's starting at around 7:30.
Yeah, about 7. So And we usually have that the movie night the first Saturday night of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a dinner night, usually I think it's the third Thursday.
Yeah.
Usually over at the Hobbit Cafe over there on Richmond.
Yeah, Richmond in between Shepherd and Kirby.
Yeah. I think it's just an opportunity to talk to people and kind of find out more about it. I will say that the group in of itself is not a dating service.
No.
You know, that's something I got to go else. May have to go elsewhere. Not to say that you can't, something
even
may not happen.
You have met at a bar group meetup.
Yeah, for the record, Rob and I have been dating roughly, what, about 3 years now?
Uh-huh, mm-hmm. 3 years.
We met at the Vinette, the Thanksgiving feast.
Oh, you did?
You know, like I said, roughly
3 years ago, yeah. Basically.
Well, I guess so. If we just had Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And something must be working. We're still together.
Yeah.
So,
But the Binet meeting, especially at the community center and at the Hobbit, is just to meet people of like mind.
Right.
And the subject that we usually talk about on the air, usually we carry it over to the supper,
mm-hmm.
Hobbit night. You know, just you be lighting on what they think about it, and you know, anything you want to be changed or anything like that. But just basically have an open conversation about being bisexual, how you feel about it, or, you know, just talk about whatever happened on the news yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The movie night is more like, oh, it's just eat and watch a movie, bi theme related, or maybe the actor or actresses, or bi. You mm-hmm. know, or like Angelina Jolie, we watched Tomb Raider last time we was there, and
no.
she's bisexual, man. I'm glad she is.
Okay.
And you know, sometimes we'll have Rita Kahlo, Frida Kahlo's mm-hmm. famous painter, and she was all openly bisexual. You know,
yes.
So, and they had it in the movie that she was bisexual. You know, so it's certain movies that we'll put out there. You know, it depends. It could be action. Sometimes we'll watch Better Than Chocolate. It doesn't really have any bi things in it. I mean, it has some bi's in it. But, I mean, the movie hits everybody. Transgendered, bi, gay. Mostly everybody that's, you know, in the community, they hit the note. So
right.
we try to make a variety of movies to play. You know, some people never thought that, oh, I didn't know that actor and actress was bi. I didn't know that movie. Like Alexandra.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people did not know that Alexandra could have been bisexual. They don't think of that like that. You know,
Alexandra?
It's like so obvious, but some people, they just, you know, don't look at it that way.
Alexandra who?
Alexandra the Great.
Oh, Alexander.
Oh, yes. Alexander
nice
the Great.
Nice looking dude. The Greek guy that tried to conquer everything?
Yes.
Yeah. And I find out later that his lover was an Anubian. It's like, what? Okay. Didn't know that. But it's not in the movie that he was an Anubian, but historically, I find out
right.
that he was
Anubian. Yeah. Some other resources or books that are available? Probably. But some people might say is the quote-unquote Bible on bisexuality is a book called The Bisexual Option by Fritz Klein, M.D.
Yes.
Who's a clinical psychologist or therapist, whatever, who, from what I've read, his personal history apparently was himself bi.
Yes,
he was. Kind of favored the gay side. But still, you know, he was bi and wanted to help people, you know, I guess have a better understanding of himself and
yes.
help other people in the process.
In fact, believe twice he was interviewed by Gigi
right.
by phone here on After Hours.
Yeah, I remember hearing one of those.
Yes, and he just recently died.
About a little over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
But still,
that is the Bible.
Yeah.
And it's been the Bible for years and years and
right.
years.
Look at my copy. It's copyright 1993,
mm-hmm.
what I have here. Another book, which has been out maybe a year, which I enjoy.
I can tell.
Yeah, it's called The Bisexual's Guide to the Universe. Quips, tips, and lists for those who can go both ways.
It's kind of like a comical part of maybe you can read.
It looks like you've read it many times.
Oh yeah,
it's pretty ragged.
Yeah, I've been reading through it. It's well used. It's a serious book, but it's just plain fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely tongue-in-cheek.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever that means. Anyway.
There are many books that
but
you can get.
I've had my tongue in many a cheek.
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh, I see that.
Uh, authors Nicole Crystal and Mike Szymanski. I can't pronounce it. It's probably some good Polish boy.
Yeah. Polish or Czech.
Right. But like, we've talked about this book on the air before. Like I said, it's just plain fun to read. Just mm-hmm. There's a definite attitude. It's bisexuality with an attitude.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you learned things from reading that book?
Oh, yeah. I was looking. There's one little chapter here which says there's sex guides for bisexuals.
Okay.
There's something listed here. The Straight Girl's Guide to Sleeping with Chicks by Jen Sacaro. Let's see, Lesbian Sex Secrets for Men. What every man wants to know about making love to a woman and never asks. Okay. Let's see. The Ethical Slut.
Oh.
A Guide to Infinite Sexual Possibilities.
Yes. Nothing wrong with being a slut.
Oh, yeah.
I've built a whole career on it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sex tips for straight women from a gay man. Okay. Here's your Exhibition for the Shy. That's another book I got here. Carol Queen.
Yeah, well, Gigi didn't write that.
Right. It's not about bisexual per se, but it's talking about, you know, being more sexually expressive.
Yes.
And that definitely can be involved being bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the book right now, the Bisexual Guide, and there's a little thing here about funniest bi porn. Something here, some movie called The Attack of the 50-Foot Trainee.
Okay.
Well, that's probably a good subject for another show.
Yeah,
that's a whole show.
Yeah.
I like reading this book. It's like I said, it's a tongue-in-cheek way to look at things, but it is. But within the humor, is some, you know, kind of a serious subject. So, hey,
okay.
Yes, this is who you can be. It's normal. Who's there?
And what's the name of it again?
Got a book, The Bisexual's Guide to the Universe.
Okay.
And these people do have a website. So, let's see. The advantages of being a bi man or a bi woman. Let's see. You can quote Annie DeFranco to your dyke friends, Pink to your gay boys, and old Guns N' Roses lyrics to your macho older brother. Okay. You're so more open minded, people have to remind you to be judgmental.
Well.
Yeah. Anyway. But what's nice reading about here, like the, you know, books on doing, you know, sexual things, does remind me that, you know, part of the process, you know, saying, oh, let's see, I'm capable of having sexual attraction to both men and women. Okay, now what's next? And to me, it does come down to that physical act, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, how, especially if, you know, say it's, basically some guy, a man who's traditionally thought himself straight, and this is, you know, what I've been experiencing, dealt with. Okay, I'm curious. What do I do to go have that experience?
Yeah, where do you go? What do you do? Right. How do you get started?
Right.
And yeah, because you can run into some.
Yeah, there's some crazy. It can be some craziness out there.
Yes.
Appropriate. You know, keep the condoms handy. You know, things like that.
Where it's do like you go when you want to seek out male companionship?
Face. A lot of times I just go over to one of the bathhouses.
Okay.
The Midtown and the Club Houston.
Mm-hmm. Both on San Jacinto.
Yeah.
The thing about me is like, me and David, we started trying to go to swingers parties.
Yeah.
We made a mistake going to a regular one. Well, they have, like, you know, the meet and greet. And they had these papers that you fill out, and they ask these questions. They ask, are you bisexual? And, you know, me and David put checked on there.
Yeah.
The thing about it is, they want you to be bisexual, but they only want the females.
That's
to be
right.
Bisexual.
Yes. And the swingers, with the swingers parties, it's the females are bisexuals and the guys are not.
It's right. It's all about making the macho, jerko, straight guy happy.
Yes.
You know,
it's
and if
exhibitionism
you upset,
for the straight guy.
Right. Yeah, and if you to make them upset, I think this is why we got kicked out. It's because I made one of them real upset. Because I just refused to have sex with him.
Oh.
I had sex with everybody but him. Because he was just a jerk.
Well.
He's walking around here jumping on there right like a bunny rabbit and, you know, doing it 30 seconds. And I'm like, whoa, hold on here. I ain't for that 30-second crap. You know, and he's thinking he's this big shot. His chest stuck. I fucked every woman in here. Excuse me, I didn't screw every woman in here. And it's like, not me, buddy. So I think that's why we got kicked out.
Right.
Because it's all about pleasing. And Gigi was like, oh, God, no.
Yeah.
You know, I said, boy, we should have asked you first.
Yeah.
So we started.
So if you're a male and you're bisexual, you may want to avoid the swinger type party.
Right.
So we managed to find a swingers party, but the person that was running it is bisexual. And he was a guy.
God, it makes all the difference.
Right. So we would go there. It wasn't that many women there because it's hard to get women, even by women, involved in stuff. Cause women,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Because women are...
You're talking about a play party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mostly men. You know,
But I know women can show up because it's bisexual.
Sure.
But,
who puts it on? You can just first name.
His name is David.
Another guy named David.
Oh, okay.
There's a couple of Yahoo groups.
Is this Captain?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that one. There's a couple of Yahoo groups. One is...
and he does a meet and greet just about every month, doesn't he?
Yeah, just about.
And in his... the Yahoo group, I'm on it.
Is it a Bi Chubbs? Bi Chubbs Houston. That is for chubby men, the big guys. And I think there's a Bi Men Houston group.
Bi Men Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he every now and then he has a... organized a little gathering. Rob and I have been to several of them. And I think the first time it was the both of us went, Robin was kind of the center of attention for a while.
I'll bet.
But the next time we went, she kind of just wanted to watch. And,
and they were okay with that?
Everybody was cool with it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, I didn't even have to say anything. Everybody picked up on it that maybe she's not in the mood today, so we just let her be there. And other times, I'm all giddy and ready, and they all ready, too. I mean, it's nice because I'm a female, but it ain't all about me.
Yeah.
You know, and it ain't all about the guys either. It's just everybody having a good time. It's all about everybody in the room.
And no means no.
Right.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Yeah. And there's nobody's asking, you know, and if you do, you say no. It's like, okay, well, this guy wants to do it. Let me go do it with him.
Now, that kind of brings up, you know, again, if some... Yeah, you know, I'm using the example of a man who could start himself as straight, but has been curious.
Yes.
I use that partly because, well, that's kind of where I've been coming from. And when I look at sort of the stereotypical view of a bisexual person, is usually a straight guy who, for whatever reason, want to go try, see what's like with another guy.
So one of these meet and greets might be kind of nice because it's very laid back,
right?
And you can do as much or as little if you want to just go and observe.
Right.
That would be okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I say, you know, this is sort of stereotypical view because I really don't know of any gay men who went the other way. At least not personally.
You're right. You're right. It usually doesn't happen that way.
Right. I've sometimes got, you know, again, this is just. You know, the impression I get, I don't want to say this is absolute truth or anything. I've not had to sit down and talk to people. But I do get the sense that there is a tendency of, you know, straight men, you know, quote-unquote straight men.
Discovering their gayness, gay side.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
But I rarely ever hear about any gay men discovering their straight side.
There's not that many.
I haven't seen that either.
It happens, but it's very rare. Few and far between.
I don't know if that's, you know. Due to your percentage of population, or the gay man is just, hey, wait a minute, I'm gay, I'm happy with it, I'm not going to worry about it, or whatever.
It's like a lot of guys, they can start it off in by, and once they turn gay, it's like...
I think it's part of the usual gay coming out process, because most men, now I'm speaking from a male perspective,
right.
Most men, well, all men are taught how to date and date the opposite sex, and most gay men have gone through that, dated women, and then come out.
Yeah.
You know, there's there's some of us, like me, who've always been gay. We always knew we were gay.
Right. Yeah, I know some guys like that.
But for most people, it was a process that happened later in life, after they've had sexual experiences with women.
Right.
I used to find that interesting because I always had feelings for women. Mm-hmm. It never just showed up. It's just I didn't know what it was.
Ah.
And I always wondered, did these guys always had feelings for the men and just kind of like me didn't know what it was? Or maybe they was told, they, you know, society telling you, oh, you're not supposed to do that. Like David was saying, he would see a guy, but then he'd say, wait a minute, you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they just kind of pressed it down.
And then, you know, you go through life and all of a sudden you think, well, why? Why can't I do that?
Yeah. Right. It's like, what the problem? You know?
Sometimes that happens with age. You just kind of...
Right.
The older I get, the more I feel that sexual orientation is fluid rather than static.
Yeah.
So
that's why I always thought a lot of these people, that's probably more bi people than people realize. Because they just like some of these guys have been married all these years. How in the world do you stay with somebody and then you say, well, I still love the person, I still have feelings for the person, and then you have children with them? I mean, I know guys that were gay and forget about trying to have sex with a woman. They can't get their stuff up. Mm-hmm. You ain't gonna get her pregnant or nothing. You ain't gonna do anything. You gotta have some firmness to get it in there.
You do.
And it's like, I know a lot of gay guys that never been with a woman. They tried to be with a woman. They said, well, then they'll look at a woman naked and, you know, nothing. You know, and it's like, you're just gay, period. You're 7 or 6. Yeah. On the scale. So, and then you got these guys that been with women, got children and stuff. It's like, they somewhere on that scale.
Sure.
And what they want to either be, either you got to be straight or gay. It's like, why can't you just be like bisexual or just be on a 3 or 2 or whatever on the scale?
Oh, the bookstores are full of men with wedding rings.
Right.
And they would be so much safer at the Tubbs.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, they would like I said, they did a show a couple of weeks ago on a Tyra Banks talk show, and she called it the bisexual episode. I'm like, finally,
yeah,
they're doing a show where they're saying bisexuality,
actually saying it,
saying the word, just made me want to just fly all out of my chair. And they talk about the scale. They talk about.
Did they
did the whole thing, and I was like,
"Good for them."
I almost wrote her a letter saying thank you, because it's like they had many other shows about being on a down low. They talk about Brokeback Mountain, but they always say, "Oh, they were gay." Those guys are not gay. I mean, come on,
they're bisexual.
They love their wives.
Yeah,
they love their children. My goodness, they no way. Mm-hmm. But they wanted to, you know, every now and then gotta have a little, you know. Little penis there, you know? So it's like...
For a lot of penis.
Right.
But then they go back home and be with their wife. It's like, that's bisexuality. They just don't want nobody to know because they're afraid that the sky's going to fall on them. You know, they're worried that the wife's going to leave them. See, they like me. Well, I'm bisexual too. So it's like, well, that's not fair as I don't want him to be bi. I don't want him to go enjoy that one, be right. Same thing with David.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of guys go through that. They get with some females that are maybe straight or not, I don't know. And they're afraid that once they find out, the woman's going to leave them. Maybe she will.
And maybe she will,
maybe she won't. I mean, a lot of women stay with their husbands anyway because they love them too much. They, you know, they have kids by these, you know, and stuff. They don't want to break up the family.
Because bisexuality is just not about sex. It's about who the person, what gender do you want to spend your life with?
Right.
And very seldom is it equally one or the other.
Right.
But
you wish that you can have both of them at the same time. Kind of like that's what polyamorous probably came about. It's like, well, let's make a name out of that.
Well, I know that's the way it is for guys, but sometimes it's not that way for women. And I wanted to ask you, do you have problems finding females to get with because you're bisexual?
Oh, it can be pretty rough because I would go to like Chances and stuff and find many women, but I'll be afraid to tell them that I'm bisexual and have somebody because I'm afraid that they're not going to want to talk to me after that. So a lot of times I would like talk to them for a while, get them like comfortable with me and liking me and stuff like that. Oh, she's not a good, she's not a bad person. Then maybe I can put it out there and let them know what it is.
Yeah.
Because a lot of lesbians, they just...
They avoid bisexual women.
I don't know. It's just the idea that I've been with a guy. Because for some reason, men grosses them out. It ain't like gay men. It might gross them out, too. But it's more like, I don't know.
I mean, being with a straight guy, I know where he puts his penis, and it doesn't bother me. Because, you know, he's at that particular time that I'm with him, he's not putting it there.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Long as he's putting the latex on it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm cool, but it's for some reason lesbians have a this thing about men being with men. They just find it really gross.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of look at me as dirty or something. I'm not. I don't know, but I really kind of hate that too, because there's a lot of women that I really want to be with, but you know, I'd be kind of scared to really talk to them. Like, now that's the polyamorous thing I kind of like, because a lot of times the man and the woman is lesbian or gay,
mm-hmm.
or bisexual. Sometimes somebody like I've been with this one guy, his wife was straight, but he was straight, but his wife was bi or whatever. You know, sometimes you run into those couples like that, and, well, they're cool with it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, when you're bisexual, you have to go to, like, polyamorous groups, parties.
Yes.
And try to find a couple that's polyamorous.
Yes.
But, yeah, now lesbians, every now and then you'll find one that's cool with it, but it's rare. You know, it's...
You almost have to find other bisexual women.
Yeah, because I remember they had a segment on Hatch, and Hatch had a segment on bisexuality, and mm-hmm. one of the females on the group, I didn't want to say any names or nothing, was saying that she don't like bisexuals because she found herself being jealous, because it's like we can go be in a straight world and be accepted, and then but we can go in the gay world and be accepted at the same time, and she's being a lesbian.
And the problem with this is?
Right. She was saying that her being a lesbian, she can't go in the straight world and be straight. And then she's gay all the time.
It's not that at all. It's the appearance.
Yeah.
If a male and a female are holding hands, you assume they are straight. If a male and male are holding hands, you assume they are gay.
Right.
A lot of times, it's
actually... But that's maybe not the case.
I mean, look at me. I'm butchy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
Soft butch.
Yeah. But I go in the straight world. Nobody bothers... See, it's a lot of times attitude. A couple of weeks ago, we was doing a round table, and somebody was upset because they would go on somewhere to a straight bar, and they would get, like, completely hackled.
Mm-hmm.
Where... David, the other David that be here, on the other hand, goes somewhere. Nobody bothers him, but you know he's gay. He's obvious that he's gay.
Mm-hmm.
He acts gay. He looks gay. He's openly gay. He's not hiding it.
Yes.
Nobody bothers him. It's because a lot of times you can go in somewhere and automatically, oh, these are a bunch of straight, like me going to a straight bar. And I have this attitude before I even get into the parking lot. Oh, these people are homophobic, and they're going to be calling me a dyke, and all kinds of crap. Go in there, that's what I'm going to get, because mm-hmm. you're putting out this energy, and they're going to catch that energy, so they're going to give you what you want. What you want in that, basically. You're telling the universe it's what you want.
Yeah.
But as you go up there going, oh, I'm going to give me a couple of beers, I'm going to be kicking it, I'm going to have a good time. Everybody's going to be cool, you know. You just go in there all happy. That's what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, you go in here with the chip on your shoulders like, oh, I'm gay or lesbian, and, oh, people got a problem with it. That's what you're going to get.
Yeah.
I go around. I mean, I dress a certain way. I look a certain way. Sometimes people think I'm bi, butch, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. As long as they don't harass, as long as they don't assault me, or okay. anything like that.
We've talked about bisexual men going to the baths to
right.
to mm-hmm. hook up.
Yes.
Because it's a safe environment. It's a private club. Right. And there are condoms available
right.
and mm-hmm. and showers and all right. of this kind of stuff.
Oh, uh-huh. yeah.
Now, you also talked about jeans parties.
Uh-huh.
Now, do you have to belong to Binet to get invited to yeah. one of those? Or how does that work?
Frankly, I think it's more or less open to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we find out about because we get through the Yahoo group.
Right? Okay, the Binet. By Men Houston?
By Men Houston, the Binet Houston.
Binet
one
Houston?
One or two other groups.
Okay. Binet Houston is the group with
that's,
is the Yahoo group?
Yeah.
Binet Houston.
Binet Houston.
By-Net Houston?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's, you know, that's where we have the, you know, the movie night.
Okay.
My own experience... though, of say wanting to say go out and have an encounter a man,
mm-hmm.
you know, I really haven't run into anything where I really, you know, the guy found out I was bi, I didn't really get any messages there. You know, what are you doing here? You know, if anything, they seem to maybe actually be more interested in me.
Ah,
I mean, I've been involved in a couple of otherwise all gay men group. There.
Yes,
hung out with the radical, you know, the radical fairies.
Yes.
And there's a men's nudist group in town. I've been a member of the Lone Star Nudist Group.
Lone Star Nudist, yeah.
And, you know, if anything, I go in there and they find out I have a girlfriend. They say, what? I thought you were gay. Well, in a manner of speaking.
Yeah, well, you don't have to be gay to belong to the nudist group,
right.
Lone Star Nudist.
All right.
I mean, that's the, like you said, the co-fortifies that one guy he was talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, he's bisexual.
Steven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I, you know, I don't... You know, this is a couple of groups I normally hang out with. They're otherwise all gay men.
Mm-hmm.
I don't drink. You know?
Yeah.
So, going to clubs is a little bit of a waste of time for me. It's not the environment I'm attracted to.
Sure.
And so, quite frankly, if that's a place where I could, in theory, have a problem, I'm probably not going to have a problem because I'm not there in the first place.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in going there. I would say I've heard stories, though, so I kind of had that in the back of my mind. It's kind of like, is anybody going to like me? Of course, ultimately, in the long run, so what? I'll go someplace else.
Yeah, well, I think we should try to promote all the places bisexual people can go to meet each other
right.
or play with each other
right.
or whatever, because it's the bisexual community is so lacking in community.
Right.
There's no really very, very few bi spaces
right.
to meet. There's just not any clubs or restaurants or things mm-hmm. like that cater exclusively
right.
to bi people. So we have to do it through social situations and groups like Yahoo groups
right.
or things like that. And really, joining the Binet Houston Yahoo group might be a good option for
right.
those who are curious mm. or just, you know, they're not yet ready to meet other people,
right.
but maybe just talk about mm. bisexuality.
There's always yeah. PFLAG, too, with the parents. And
parents and friends of lesbians and gays?
Yes, they are very open to
mm-hmm.
bisexuals, too.
Mm-hmm. And transgenders.
Yes, and transgenders. So is you like a teenager or whatever just coming out?
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of worried you can go to them.
PFLAG or Hatch.
Right.
Hatch. Yes, and you can always go to them, you know, and maybe you'll run into some other bis that are coming out along with you.
Mm-hmm.
You won't be by yourself because, trust me, you're not alone. I know it feels right. that way, but trust me, you're not alone. It's just the idea of meeting other people that's exactly going through the same experience.
Yeah.
Hatch is the teen group that's here every first Saturday.
Yeah.
It's a teen group for GLBT and questioning
right.
people, and it is an offshoot. It's under the auspices of the Montrose Counseling Center.
Right.
So if you are a teen and you're interested in bisexuality or the other GL and T's, contact the Montrose Counseling Center.
Right.
Or go to montrosecounselingcenter.org. org and find out more about about that. Okay. And they have therapists, groups, all kinds of things.
I worked with a counselor for a while over at the Montrose Counseling Center. When I started to really take seriously what I was feeling in my experiences.
Sure.
Because I knew there was some stuff I wanted to sort out, and I went there because I figured this is a place where they'll understand where I'm coming from.
Okay.
And I found it helpful.
Okay.
You can always get in touch with Binet Houston, our group.
Yeah.
And you can talk to one of us, and we might try to see if we can help.
Okay.
And, you know, and maybe if we can't help, we can try to lead you on to another show.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Got to seeing those start wrapping it up.
Yeah.
If anybody listening, hearing us, be interested in contacting Robin or I, we do have our own little special email address. It's, you know, I call this our segment here, the Bisexual Agenda.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to have to remember that. Right. I forgot that.
Yes, we do have an agenda.
The Bisexual Agenda. You do have an agenda. Yes.
And the email address is biagenda, you know, B-I-A-G-E-N-D-A, at peoplepc.com.
Okay.
And, or of course, you can probably contact us via, you know, the show here. And, of course, again, you know, Binet Houston, like I said, we'll be having our movie night next Saturday.
Yes.
And I think there is a tie-in with AIDS Awareness Day or something like that.
Yeah, join them at the GLBT Community Center, Hawthorne and Montrose on the second floor. On this, 3400 Montrose, second floor. Get out of the elevators and turn left.
Yeah.
You can't miss it.
Okay.
We'll see you later. I know you're both of you really hang out after hours almost every week.
Yeah.
So anybody can call at any time during after hours probably talk to a real live bisexual.
Right.
I mean, we're not the only ones that are bisexual here. I mean, half the people that be here are surprisingly bisexual.
Amazingly so.
Right. That's it, Stephen, with the Code 45, and there's other groups other people that are in there right now that's bisexual.
You betcha.
If you find yourself, so like I said, sort of like, you know, you can go either way, and sometimes, usually do. You're not alone. It is real.
That's
like
right.
Like I said, there's a scale. So you can either be high on one side and low on the other, right, or vice versa.
Okay, we'll see you later.
Hello.
Thank you.
Wrap me up in your rainbow, that loop back. scooted.
Yay. Hello.
Hi.
There we go.
Yeah,
there.
You're Chris. Yay.
Okay, that's much better now.
Hello, is anybody out there?
Maynard? Tacos.
Is anybody out there?
Testies.
That show's tomorrow night. Let's see. Getting ready for the roundtable discussion. We've got Laura Palooza waiting out in the wings. Trying to see what other wonderful little stories I've got here to find. Thought I had something more in here. So, all right, well, I just got so far I got the lesbian story out of Australia.
Ooh.
Yay, let me tell you. All right, let's see.
You're just not right.
A former teacher has escaped immediate jail after succumbing to her love for a troubled student by having lesbian sex in bushland in Perth.
Oh, my goodness.
Apparently, it was partially legal.
Mm. On whose part?
Well,
were they going down under?
See, lesbian sex is legal at age 16, but the age of consent rises to 18 when one of the couples is in a position of authority.
Ooh.
And this was a teacher-student relationship.
Oh, well.
But they apparently bought the excuse that the student was graduated or out of her classroom, so she was no longer in charge of her.
Okay. You gotta love those.
I'm trying to find a loophole there somewhere, obviously.
Yeah. Said the pair were in, the judge said the pair were in love, and the teacher had resisted sexual relationship with the tortured child until succumbing in an isolated incident. The judge found that she had not groomed the girl for sex and encouraged her to leave school and home, so that the teacher could exploit her. I cannot find you induced the child to leave school to take over her sexually. So she only got 2 years probation for diddling the child.
Wow. To say no, don't do that again.
All right, let's see here. Trying to find the first of the Harvey Milk biopics that are coming out next within next year. Get started filming in January. The one that has Sean Penn. Is he playing Milk's character? I forget which one. Gus Van Sant. I'm sorry. Sean Penn will be playing Harvey Milk in this version.
Wow, there's an interesting idea.
And Matt Damon is playing Dan White.
Ooh.
Wow.
And which is all coincidental that coming up Tuesday is the 29th anniversary of the Milk assassination.
Oh, cool. Oh, man. 29 years ago?
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like it's been that long, huh, Merlin?
Ouch.
Just asking.
If I were human, I believe my response would be, go to hell. If I were human. Thank you, Spock.
Anyway. Are you Klingon or Vulcan?
Merlin's only 40. Come on.
Yeah.
He's not much older than you, right, Vulcan?
and someday when he'll be the 40-year-old virgin.
Well, true.
I was
29 years ago. Wow.
Yeah. But the reason I found out, I was going through one of the websites there. It's Mayor Moscone's birthday would have been today.
Yeah.
And so I looked over and go, oh, it's coming up here. Yeah.
What would he have been, 104 now?
Who?
On a desk.
Who, Milk or Moscone?
Moscone.
I forget how much I said there. I didn't look that hard on it. On Saturday, Philadelphia Mayor John Street will officiate a commitment ceremony for his Deputy Secretary of External Affairs and his partner. The ceremony is making headlines because Street was once regarded as public enemy number one of the gay community.
Wow.
So he's trying to make peace with them to get votes in, huh?
True story.
I guess the three Christmas guests that visited him, at least one of them was Harvey Milk.
The Philadelphia Inquirer reports that 125 guests will be expected. It will resemble every way a traditional wedding, but will have no legal standing, since Pennsylvania prohibits gay marriage. They will be wearing matching black tuxedos with orange vests.
Aww. Ew.
How Emperor Penguin of them. It'll be a 10-person wedding party. Each groom's best man happens to be a woman.
Of course.
Right.
Bag hags.
Lesbians.
And then they're going to the museum for the reception. It's kind of a slow...
It's sweet.
Since there's no brides, does it mean there's nobody to give her away?
Gosh, it doesn't seem like really that much interesting stuff on here. You know, usually
that's okay. The show's almost over anyhow.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, I can't find anything interesting in here. But once again, like I said, we're getting ready next week. We will be starting our Christmas music.
Yes. Oh. It'll be a happy homo holiday. As always.
I don't think we're playing Homo Christmas at the start off it.
Yeah.
I'd like to save that for later, because like I said, with Jimmy not here...
Uh-oh.
Yeah, those will be some interesting opportunities.
Elsewhere next week.
Oh, yes.
We'll be playing the interesting ones, and then we've also got... We've already said that, you know, one of the songs we'll definitely be playing probably next week will be the final time we can play Jerry Falwell's Coming to Town. So we'll have to retire that little
bit. Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, we can't play it here anymore, but I like to think that if I believed in him, that a happy little... guy with a set of horns and a pitchfork was playing that at the gate on Jerry's way in.
Right.
I always play Thank You Very Much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That's the nicest thing that anyone's ever done for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
get
ready.
One of my favorite versions of A Christmas Carol, the musical version.
Okay, that one's not on there.
That's
so.
Because it must be because I'm queer.
Okay,
you are
the fact that gay. Yes.
You know, just thought you walk like that naturally.
You know what's even more depressing about the fact that I know that song that she, you know, is that movie, the musical version Scrooge with Albert Finney was made when I was 2 years old. That movie was made in 1970.
Yeah.
That movie's been around for 37 years.
And around how long over...
It's one of those...
I will be 40 this coming May.
It's one of those nasty little things that you suddenly get a little reminder of how old you are. I got it with Brothers and Sisters. I kept seeing Balthazar Getty, and I kept remembering, yeah, he was one of those the young movie stars and all that, and I kept thinking he was the youngest brother. Then when I saw it's the oldest brother, I go, oh, my God.
Okay.
Balthazar Getty was one of the little brats in one of those movies like Goonies and
The Last Starfighter or something.
Last Starfighter and all that stuff. I mean,
that's like back in the 80s.
I mean, and he was this little brat back then, and now he's like the hottie with the, you know.
You've been listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Like I said, get ready for the next month of Christmas tunes, but once again, they're not the Christmas tunes you know.
You remember.
Yeah. They're not the ones you're going to hear over on...
We need to get a copy of Walking Around in Women's Underwear.
Oh, yeah. We've got that.
We've got that.
That's done to death. We're talking about Christmas songs with the lines of sticking Christmas cane...
shoving candy canes up each other's butts.
Yes, thank you.
That one you got to play. Roasting chipmunks.
Of course we will, but... See, that's one of the clean ones that Jimmy has highlighted.
Yes.
Next week.
He wants to play the ones that I haven't highlighted.
Chicken Hawk is coming to town.
Oh, God.
I mean, it is the hatch segment.
I'll be a
homo for Christmas.
Oh,
Jose's
no.
It is the hatch segment, so I have to play Chicken Hawk is coming to town.
I'm sure you do.
Well, somebody's theme song. Come on.
All right. Laura Palooza is...
She is in the house.
Climbing over here trying to get it in, so put the CDs in.
Welcome. Oh, careful there.
My Freudian...
slipper showing.
I need to order those. I saw Freudian slippers online.
Oh.
Okay.
They're hilarious looking. All right. It's time now for...
Chicken hot.
I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Your PSA. Unless you're in Galveston.
Hi, this is Rick Mitchell, longtime KPFT supporter and volunteer. I would like to remind my fellow KPFT members to vote in our local station board election. The deadline for receiving mailed ballots has been extended to November 30th, or you can drop off your ballot on December 1st at the KPFT studios, 419 Lovett Boulevard. Pacifica is a unique experiment in democratic community radio, but like all democracies, it requires the active participation of the community to be effective. Please take a few minutes to review the candidate statements and cast your vote as soon as possible to support KPFT, Radio for Peace.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.